Blog Talk Radio.
Man, man, man. Good evening. How time flies, boy. Don't get old Big the Prayer Warriors and then get Big Ernie Sweat away and just start this program off. All right, Prayer Warriors, y'all, Michael, just do your job. Do your job, fellas.
Amen, amen. Good evening, brother. As always, we tell you we're truly glad to have you guys back and be back with you. We're truly glad to have Big Ernie here to answer some talk text and racing questions and give us knowledge, of course, of nitrous and safety. So I'm asking my brother if he feel like it. I know he's been kind of under the weather. We would ask Brother Tim if he would whisper to the Lord that he would continue to keep Brother Ernie safe and sound and a great portion of health and strength, that he would continue to do what he do. Brother Tim, if you will.
Yeah, Brother D, all I should be able to say is amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just take time out, Lord, to say thank you for being our God, and thank you for allowing us to be your people. We thank you, Lord God, that you allow Brother Ernie to be into our lives. We thank you, Lord God, for him being so friendly and so kind, Lord, and so knowledgeable and being willing to share it. So we just say thank you, Lord. Lord God, we ask that you would bless him with good health and strength and a sound mind. Bless his family with good health and strength. And bless his business, Lord, that it will be prosperous and that he'll be able to see the fruit of his labor and that it'll accomplish everything that he wanted it to be. Now, Lord God, we just ask that we continue to be friendly toward Ernie and continue to patronize and continue to keep him and share. And we just say thank you, Lord. We love you because you first loved us. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And we thank you for Ernie being our friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Back to you.
All right. We appreciate that. And tell Tim to take a break, man. He sounds horrible. He's sounding good, but he needs to take tell Tim to take a break. I know he's stubborn like Big Ernie. Tell him to take a break, though.
Hey, what's happening? What's happening? Ain't it a lovely day today? Yeah, sure. Hey, this is Ernie with ContiCar Nitrous Systems, bringing you your, I guess we might as well say, $1.99 for 10 gallons of diesel this morning. $55 for 10 gallons of diesel this morning. You know, I don't know where this stuff's going to stop. It's going to end up, it's just getting worse. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, this is Ernie with ContiCar Nitrous Oxide Systems at 1-800-648-7687. 1-800-NITROUS. Renegade Racing Fuels, one of the best fuels out there you can buy. Daytona 1 Performance Petroleum Products. Don Kennedy, Race Car Insurance. You know, we had him on here a couple of weeks ago. So, everybody's been calling me wanting for his phone number. I'm going to give you Don Kennedy's phone number. You got your pencil ready. 602-284-6240. 602-284-6240. Get insurance on your car. It's $20,000 for $187 and change, roughly, for agreed value insurance. You can't beat it. Okay, guys, see, I got off center. FTI Transmissions down in Florida. Lawyer Man, Got to have him. Silverback Streams. You know, that's a fire stick and box. I tell you what, if you want to watch TV, you need to get in touch with Silverback Streams and get one of their boxes, plug it in. There's over 3,000 channels for you to watch. You know, that's a lot of channels. You will get tired of you'll get a callus on your thumb changing channels. So give them a call, Silverback Streams. You can go up on the Facebook site, tap them on there, contact them, get a box, and you will enjoy it. They got a special going on for a Mother's Day deal, $175 for the first year. So, and that's free freight to you. So now's the time to get one. That's about $25 off. And you know, I'd say you will enjoy it. If you watch anything to do with pay-per-view TV, there's no reason you don't have one of these boxes, because all those pay-per-view things are on there free. If you just bought one pay-per-view for the year, you have basically paid for the box. So give them a call. Silverback Streams, great people to deal with. If you have a problem, they'll be more than happy to walk you right through it. All right, diesel. You know, I used to fill my truck up for $100. And now I can't even get a week's worth of driving for $55. What can we do about it? Absolutely nothing. Suffer, bitch, moan, until this government gets putting the American people first. It's going to just get worse. We got some elections coming up here in November. I don't normally get into politics. I tell you what, there's a whole lot of places that needs a different team playing for it. You know, somebody that's working for you, not against you. This is terrible, and it's affecting everything. You know, okay, I'm bitching about the $5.50 for diesel, but you take that same diesel, goes into that same tractor trailer that's hauling the strawberries, that's hauling the watermelons, that's hauling everything else. So that's going to go up. Okay, now the guy that does the farming, his seed cost went up. His fertilizer cost went out of sight. The diesel for his tractors went up. You know, it's everywhere. It's getting ridiculous. And you go into some of the stores, and it's as many empty aisles as there is full aisles. Walmart's only got to the point where they pushed so many aisles out and spread everything out to make it look full, but they're suffering from the same thing. We're suffering from the same thing with bottles, stainless steel, brass fittings, everything that we use in our industry that y'all use, including racing fuel, just keeps going up. You know, we try to control as much as we can, but the quantity discounts aren't even there like they used to be, and that's causing more things to go up. So I don't know what we're going to do. Summer's fixing to come in here, and I'm expecting that stuff's going to get more expensive, and it's going to affect racing. You know, if you haven't already made that decision, do you go to this race? It's going to take you a tank and a half to get there and a tank and a half to get back. You start figuring that into the cost of the food, everything going up down the road is more expensive. Motels are more expensive. Really pointing a bleak picture for a lot of the racing. You know, everybody's familiar with Moroso Motorsports Park. They've sold it. It's going to be warehouses. Okay, it's a shame that it is. But they got 10 times what it was worth. You know, so you can't really complain to somebody that's making the money. Memphis closed up. They're going to make it into warehouses and manufacturing.
They ain't closed it yet. Ernie, they done ran into some problems. Well, they ain't closed it yet. They got an event down there next month, and they're supposed to be closing up this month, honey. So something going on,
honey. Yeah, it's, Houston closed up. You know, they're, big money is just buying up property. And where's the most property that you can get for your buck? Racetracks. They've already got the infrastructure. They've already got a road right down the middle of it. So, you know, what do you do? I hope we see more tracks being built. You know, tracks were built out and away from the cities for the noise and everything else. But now the city is coming to the tracks. So the tracks are going to have to find someplace else in the woods, I guess, to race. And I don't want to see anybody street racing. But I tell you what, they are really forcing a lot of these racers to start looking at that option. I don't recommend it. The no prep races are bad enough. We are sponsoring, helping out one of the no prep guys. He said he was racing on the airport this weekend, that they went in there with leaf blowers and blew the track off. And then said, it's time to race. Let's go. He sent me some videos. And I tell you what, he can drive. He was all over. Maybe we get that under control and get some speed stepping up, and we can really get fast. Well, guys, my biggest thing I was going to talk to you tonight was about your trailers. Everybody, I mean, it's still cool. The people having tires that are blowing out. You need to go out there and look at your tires. Look at the inside the tread of your tires, not the tread of the tires, but look down into the base of those treads. See if you start seeing separation down in there. That's caused from sun more than anything else, and going up and down the interstate in these extreme hot days. It causes that case to want to start separating. And the weakest point of the case is between the treads. Yes, you see the sidewalls eat out of the tires. Sidewalls being eat out is the wrong tires or not the proper air for the tires. It's causing them to wallow on the sidewalls. When it wallows on the sidewall, it's going to break the threads inside the side of the tire. You got to put the right amount of air. You got to run a better tire. LT tires do not belong on trailers. Trailer tires are ST. And the ST, they've got a stiffer sidewalls. They've got a thicker tread. But you've got to put the air in there. You can't overload them. If you've got a 10,000-pound trailer, it weighs 5,000 pounds with nothing in it. I don't mean you got a 10,000-pound trailer and you can put 10,000 pounds in it. No. That's overloaded. Get your stuff loaded up one day. Go down by a truck stop. Go across the cat scale. And get a reading on your axles. And get a reading on the overall weight of your trailer. You're going to be really surprised on the weight that you're actually pulling. And you might want to make some changes to make up for that. Sometimes it's going to take replacing the axles because these 3,500-pound axles aren't going to hold a 10,000-pound load long. You're going to burn the bearings up. The wheels are going to go. You're going to break the wheels. Lugs are going to come off. Tires are going to blow apart. Get it straightened out now and solve that problem so you don't go down the road having two or three flats on an out. Back to you, dog.
All right, honey, two things you covered that came up, honey, that you already said something about. You was talking about the diesel. Honey, it's not a gas shortage, but I took a trip this weekend and saw quite a few stations was out of gas with the exception of just premium. What's going on with that, honey?
That's just a delivery chain problem. There's not a shortage of gasoline in anything. In the southern states, you have the E85. Well, they have a winter E85 and a summer E85. Most of the states in the South do not run the E85 winter blend. they don't use it because we don't need that extra additives to get the car to crank up. But right now, there's no shortage on fuels. Like I said, they keep going up to the point of 10 gallons. I guess next week I'll get 5 gallons and see if it costs me $50. You know, they got to get this cost control going on this thing. Something is causing it to go up for no reason. Back to you, sir.
Okay. Ernie, one more question on that. Ernie, how come if you got a gas station across the street, got one price, and you got one across the street right from it, it's 5 and 6, 7 cent different sometimes. Why is that, Ernie? They right across the street from each other.
Well, you got two different owners, and they will get into gas wars. You don't see it as bad as you used to in the days, but back in the 70s, 80s, it was, you'd see gas drop $1, $1.50 a gallon while they fought with each other. I wish they would have it more often now. You know, their rent's the same. They're all basically the same quarter. The overhead's the same. It's just that they want to get more people into their store, so they'll lower the price of the gas. And that, you know, 5 cents a gallon don't sound like much, but 5 cents a gallon, people will go across the street 5 cents a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
Back to you, sir.
All right, well, let's get Hardhead number two besides Big Ernie. Let's get with Big Tim House. He won't be quiet and get well just like Ernie won't. So come on in there, Big House, with your bad Simon Zit.
Yeah, dog. Thanks, Ernie. I was surprised you didn't do it when you were talking about the trailers, Ernie, being unbalanced and more tongue heavy and, you know, and putting all the weight on the front axle and not on the back axle and being balanced in the trailer, Ernie, with all that weight. I think that'll help out too. Can you talk about that, Ernie, balancing your trailer?
Oh, absolutely. That's one thing. If you go across a set of cat scales and you just get, number one, a weight of everything, weigh the whole rig, drive off, weigh the rear tires, and the trailer, and then, you know, get a step of what you're doing. Then park in a level spot and look at your rig. Is the back of your truck bowing down and the front of the trailer pushing down? If it is, that means you got too much tongue weight. You need to get some stuff, heavy stuff, moved to the back of the trailer. Like I say, you got to get it balanced. Make sure that the truck itself is heavy enough as far as suspension to pull the load you're pulling. Now, some of these new trucks, I saw a Chevrolet advertisement the other day, you know, 36,000 pound pulley. That's a lot of weight to pull. I mean, that thing should have some really good suspension in it. You've got to size everything for what you're doing. Braking is just as important. If you've got a front-heavy rig, it's going to try to push you when you put on brake. You don't want that to happen, especially if you're going down a mountain. You do not want to be pushed down a mountain. You need to get your brakes and everything, get your weight balance, get all your tires where they should be, adjust your brakes accordingly. A lot of you probably have never even looked at the brakes on your trailer. Yes, they're electric brakes. Yes, they can be adjusted. You just adjust them just like you do everything else. You got a ratchet drum back there that you can expand them out, get your diameter set right, put your hubs back on there, and then set your brake controller. You've got to have some pull on that trailer. Doesn't matter where you're going, when you touch the brake, the trailer should brake first. You should feel it pulling. When you're doing that, you're not going to have a problem of going down a mountain and then the vehicle wanting to run away from you when it's starting to sway and play snake. And when that's happening, the only way you can stop that is just touch your trailer brake and let it pull the rig back straight again. So, like you say, keeping everything balanced, keeping your loads set up where they should, think of all the things you're carrying in your trailer beside your race car. Tools, generator, fuel, nitrous bottles, golf cart. Hell, golf carts weigh 2,500 pounds. You know, you start putting all that, it don't take long that you have really loaded up a trailer. Setting everything up right, getting your weights right, your brakes right, is major. And you need to do it now before the season starts, because like the hot weather gets in here, then you're going to really start eating up tires. And mountains and tires don't go together.
Mm-hmm.
Back to you, sir.
All righty, Ernie. One last one. Is it okay to push your race car with an electric golf cart or use gas? I don't know if he can even do it, but
I've seen them done both ways. Doesn't appear to be absolutely any advantage or disadvantage one way or the other. They both have plenty of energy to get you there. You got to remember, they're designed to haul two fat guys around the golf course all day long. So pushing a race car around a flat surface is ought to be pretty easy. Back to you, sir.
All right, thank you, Ernest.
Yes, sir. You don't sound like right. You need to get some medicine.
Yeah, he got it. Flop, quit hitting the one button on and off. I'm coming to you. Flop, what you got out there? I see you keep hitting the one button. Flop, what you got, Flop?
No, I wanted to know if I can switch gears from the trailer conversation to a fuse system conversation.
Okay,
appreciate it. Ernie, on a fuel log with multiple regulators, is there any advantage or disadvantage to which regulator feeds what first? And what I'm talking about, just say a two dual regulator on a fuel log, should the first regulator that's closest to the fuel pump feed the carburetor, or should it feed the nitrous system, or, you know, vice versa?
I have set them up about every way you can set them up, trying different things. If your fuel system, let's say you're running an Aeromotive 500 or a Barry Grant 400, 450, or any of those type pumps, they're
right.
Producing more than enough volume to maintain a line pressure of 24 to 28 pounds per square inch. Now, that means no matter where you tap into that fuel line, you're going to have 24 to 28 pounds. Whether it's at the front of the fuel log or the back, that pressure is balanced. So when you're pulling the fuel off, you're pulling it off at 6 PSI, 7 PSI. That pump is producing 24 to 28 pounds. It will replace that volume so fast you'll never see it. So whether you're at the first point, second, or the last point, they're getting equal flow with your jet set up because of the regulators. If you weren't running regulators, definitely you want the first one, you know, going to whatever's going to take the highest pressure. But we don't run that with this type of racing. So since we're a balanced fuel system, you can run it wherever you can. Conveniently, most people tend to do the closest port to the pump, to the carburetors, because you've got more to run to the carburetor than you do to the nitrous system. In the nitrous system, you're coming off your fuel logs, going around to your regulator, so no problem at all. And that line that's going around to the regulator gives you more volume to draw from, because it's a foot and a half, 2 foot. So you've got plenty
right.
of fuel no matter which way you go. If you have an undersized pump, then you've got a problem. And we need to, at that point, you just need to change the fuel pump and not try to make your pump do something it's not designed to do.
Right, okay. Appreciate you, Ernie.
Come on, Tim.
I wanted him not to go anywhere. I wanted Ernie, can you explain about a fuel log with the bypass system with one big regulator that the pros used to use all the time? And because we talked about that a couple of times on our show, but I wanted maybe you can explain about the bypass system.
Okay. One of the pump manufacturers, the Aeromotive 500, tends to have a problem that it cannot adjust down low enough to use a Holley-style regulator. It'll reduce down to maybe 10 pounds, but it won't go low enough, and you have all kinds of problems. And you call them, and they say, well, no, you've got to use this big regulator with a bypass on return and all that stuff. If you're using a single regulator to run everything, then you're setting your carburetor, which is normally going to be 6 to 7 pounds, you're going to have to lower it to what your nitrous system is running, which is going to be 5.5 pounds, and then hope that everything works. What I have found with those type fuel pumps, if you take the adjustable regulator off of the fuel pump and just walk out to the light, look down through the check valve, which is the regulator for the pump, look down from the top down. If you see a hole that's only about 1/4 inch hole, there's your problem. They put that little hole in there, so you'll buy that high-dollar regulator. You can take that adjustment apart. It's only you got one nut. There's a spring in there, a poppet, and an inner and outer. That's it. Chuck it up in a lathe and drill it out to about 3/8, just under 7/16, just about to the edge of the lips of where the JIC fitting fits. JIC fitting there is a number 8. Yeah, number 8, that's a 1/2 inch. So about a 7/16 or a little under that, open that hole up, clean it up, make sure there's no ragged edges, clean it all out, put it back together, put it on, adjust the fuel pressure, 24 to 28 pounds, and then you'll find out that every one of your regulators starts working great up front. Back to you, sir.
All right.
All right.
Well, thank you, Ernie.
Yes, sir.
Flop, you got anything to add, Flop? Flop, you got anything to add, Flop?
No, okay. I'm good, though. Appreciate you.
All right.
Thank you, Flop.
Ernie, I don't know if this is an opinionated question or what this – I'm asking you this question, Ernie. I don't know if this is opinionated or it's the real deal. On your driving suits, Ernie – if you notice with the style going on, you can see most of the black guys driving suits about 3 times bigger than what it's supposed to be, and they like to swag them down and slop them around like they wear their clothes. Now, on a driving suit, should a driving suit be fitting or should it be slack like that, Ernie? Tell me something about that, Ernie.
Most of the time you want a driving suit comfortable. And if you're going to have one built for you, there's a form that you download from Simpson, all these other places, and they ask for all these measurements, and they build that suit to fit you. When you get into small, medium, large, extra large, 3, 4, 5, 6X, that is just cut, universal fit, put it up there. And people will tend to buy those because you can get a set of large pants and a 5X jacket. Okay, and if that's what you like, that's the fit you want, that's good. It's whatever you're comfortable in. The main thing about a fire suit is what it's rated at. Is it a 3-5, 10, 15, 20? The quality of the fire suit is its rating. Now, if you want to be slim and trim and look like the Formula One guys with your arms crossed, get you a tailored suit. If you want to be, less expensive, get an off-the-shelf. They're both excellent pieces. They're both going to protect you. And anything's better than nothing. So it's just what people are wearing today. Back to you, sir.
All right, good answer, honey. Good answer. All right, there's another opinion, maybe you knowledgeable question, I don't know. All right, Ernie, you was talking about a heavy load on a trailer. A gas-burning truck, Ernie, listen up now, a gas-burning truck normally getting 17 miles a gallon, pulling nothing. You hook a heavy trailer to it, load it down with your car, gog, whatever you always say, a heavy load to it. How many miles per gallon do you think it ought to get, Ernie?
Probably 8 to 10. And
damn, boy, you good.
You've got to be real careful that it don't run hot.
You good, Ernie?
Gas engines tend to run a lot hotter than diesels, and when you're dragging a load, that engine compartment is going to be blistering. Your transmission is going to be getting hot. You've got to really pay attention to what's going on with it. The diesel truck, diesel runs so much cooler. It has so much more compression and torque. You tend not to have that problem. Now, the manufacturers will give you these fake numbers of, well, you're getting 500 horsepower and 750 pounds of torque. And you might be on a dyno, but that's not a 24-hour pull up and down hills. And whether it's an RV, a pickup truck, or a 6500 series, diesel motors are going to run cooler, get probably equal to, if not better mileage, and they're more reliable. Every time I've had a gas motor in anything that I've pulled with, I've had to do a tremendous amount of work to it, and I've had fires in four of the vehicles just from the engine compartment getting so hot. So, yeah. You not only do you lose mileage, you lose reliability. Back to you, sir.
Damn, Ernie, you on the ball today, Ernie. I got another one, Ernie. The new trucks coming out, Ernie, they do not have, I know they make the trucks for hauling and all that, but they don't know how many times Ernie gonna haul or how many times dog gonna haul up and down the road and how frequent. They don't have no transmission stick, Ernie. And so if you don't have no transmission stick, how do you know when to service your transmission? Or if you go by the book, the book gonna be a little bit inaccurate depending on how many times you haul up and down this thing. So what you do about that, Ernie? They have no transmission stick, Ernie.
Get you a transmission gauge. A temperature gauge is one of the most important things you can have. Just like Greg told us last week, well, week before last, an external cooler is going to make your transmission last longer. It also adds that little extra capacity to your oiling system. You know, there is a way to put oil in these transmissions. It's not as simple as it used to be. Just pour it in the little fill spout. You have to go up there on the top of the transmission. You have to drain everything, and then you have to pump it in and measure it in and everything else. It can be added, but the problem is it can't be checked. When do you know it's low? There's no sight holes. There's no pull this plug and check it. You've got to just get to a point of saying, okay, we're servicing the truck. We're going to change the fluid in the transmission, drain it all out. Go to the manufacturer's suggested fill for just changing the fluid, put it in there. And it has to be pumped up into the top of the transmission. So it's aggravating. It's damned aggravating. But that's what you have to do. But you got to keep that temperature of that transmission as cool as possible. Of course, on the new trucks, you know, they're running 8 speeds and 10 speeds. So we get a lot more ratios to work with, and that tends to keep the temperatures under control to some point. And they have better transmission coolers and radiators, so everything tends to work out to put an exaggerated load on it. Back to you, sir.
Ernie, you said something about pulling the trailer and tapping the brakes. Now, I know for a fact 50% of the trailers out there, 50% of it, does not have trailer brakes. And if they do have trailer brakes, they're not working. So if you got a situation like that and you don't have your trailer brakes working, what do you do? You're coming out of the hills and it starts squealing on it. What do you do?
Not being a smart ass, pray. You know, if you come down the Eagle Mountain, right there at the top of the mountain, it's a mandatory all truck and trailer will pull over for a brake check. And they mean all trucks and trailers, whether it's a little bitty truck with a lawnmower behind it or a big truck.
Well, all right. Could you answer my, before you get into that?
Before you get to the, before you peak to the mountain, before you start going down the mountain, make sure you've got your speed as low as you can get it. Get the, the vehicle in a lower gear. And then let the transmission and the engine help brake you.
That's what I'm
problem is if it's trying to push you on down the hill, you're going to try to pick up speed. And as you pick up speed, you know, you want to just touch your brakes. I've seen both recommendations from many manufacturers do a soft touch on the brake and turn it loose. I've seen manufacturers say that get the brake under control and kind of hold it there. I have had situations where I was going down the backside of Eagle Mountain and doing the best I could to control my rig, and I had good brakes. Triple axle trailer, dually. Unfortunately, the grade got stiffer or steeper than what I was set up for, and I ended up burning up every brake on the rig, all the trailer brakes, all the brakes on the truck. When I finally got it to stop, the master cylinder was boiling, and every wheel cylinder was burnt out. So when I got it to the point of it got slowed down as far as I could get, I had pressed the emergency brake all the way to the floor. So I am running out of brakes. I geared this thing down to first gear, and it's trying to go faster. I told my wife, get everything that you want. And when I tell you to get out of the truck, get out of the truck. I don't care how fast we're going, get out of the truck because it's going to go over the mountain. Finally, got into a flat straightaway and got it locked completely down. We could not move it from the roadway. It was too hot. So the only way you can do, and I had big tires, I had big brakes, I had everything that you would think would work. But I got stupid and made the top of the hill too fast. And by the time I got coming down the hill around the turns, I'm running 45, 50 miles an hour. And then you can't slow it down. So control your speed at the top. Don't wait till you get halfway down because you'll burn the brakes out of your vehicle if you do that. And, you know, big rigs, Jake brakes, yes, sir, get on them as soon as you can and just let it pull the load itself. Back to you, sir.
All right, honey. Now, that's a good report, good report. Now, honey, I've seen some 28-foot trailers, you know, enclosed trailer, 28-foot enclosed trailer. Some of them got two wheels and some of them got three wheels. What's the difference between it? I mean, I know the difference is different axle, but why some of them got three axles and I mean three wheels and some of them only got two? Why is that?
Stability, and also the three axle is going to be built for a heavier load. A lot of your I always had triple axle trailers. I had one double axle trailer, and that thing was scary to haul. So a triple axle trailer is going to be more balance, it's going to be able to handle the weight, it's got more braking power. The tires are normally a G-rated or better, and the axles are normally in the 5,000 to 7,000 pound range. I always had my trailers built with the 7,500 pound axles. Here again, I've had problems on the road, and I learned don't cut your axle short. You know, a lot of your 28-foots, you know, they're going to those double-high stackers. So that puts a lot of weight up high. Your center of gravity is no longer down here 2 foot off the ground. Center of gravity is now moved about 8 foot up. If you don't have the triple axles to balance that puppy out, you've got a real good chance of going into a turn and the rig just turning over. So it's balance and operation. Back to you, sir.
Very good, very good, very good, Ernie. You're better than 1,000 right now. All right, Ernie, you're telling me, dog, top it off the baller, top off the baller, top off the baller. I tops off my ballers. Ernie, how often, if you keep topping them off, do you go to just drain them and get the heads? thing off? Do you keep topping them off? How many times do you have to do it?
No, you just keep topping them off. Nitrous doesn't go bad, and you do not get in your nitrous bottle. That is an old wives' tale. It doesn't happen. You physically cannot get air in your nitrous bottle. Your nitrous bottle, even in the wintertime, is going to have 700-800 pounds of pressure in it. In the summertime, 900,000, 1,100 PSI. So it is so overpressured from the atmosphere, which is 14.7, that air can't get into it. Even the guys that are using pumps that are being pressurized by air, that is nothing but like a steam engine. The air is running the pump. It does not mix with the nitrous. So it has its own little check valves, its own little operation. If the seal broke through, the nitrous would come out the pump before the air went into the bottle. So if you've got a bottle that's down 2 pounds, you can refill that bottle, top it off 2 pounds every week for the rest of your life. It is not going to affect the operation at all. I have people coming in here quite often. I want to dump the bottle and refill it. Why? Well, air and trash. Okay, I can talk to you real quick. It's not going to do you any good. I mean, if you really want it done, I'll dump it, but it's going to cost you. You're going to spend a lot of money you don't need to spend. But if we are going to dump it, you say, I want it dumped. All right. Not only are we going to dump it, we're going to put the bottle in the vise. We're going to undo the valve. We're going to pull the valve out. We're going to look down in the bottle. What kind of trash do we have in there? Do we have any moisture in there? Water, rust, dust, dirt, bugs. You know, we want to clean up the bottle. All right. While we're looking at the valve, what siphon tube is on it? What valve is it? If you're happy with the way it's flowing, we're going to pull the O-ring off of the valve and put a new O-ring on. Never reinstall an O-ring on the valve. Over a period of time, the O-rings will get flattened. Some of them you pull out actually look like they're square top and bottom. They've compressed so much. Take it out. Don't put it back in. Change the O-ring. Put it back in. And then from that point on, you know the bottle's clean. You know the valve's operating properly. Got a good O-ring in it. Now, let's put new nitrous. That's the way we do it. Other than that, no, you don't mess with it. No. That's going to the extreme, but that's what you need to do if you're wanting to dump the bottle and start over. Now, if you think you have gotten bad nitrous, what's bad nitrous? Bad nitrous is somebody that, say they fill CO2 bottles and nitrous bottles. Well, if they didn't clear the pump out or they didn't change the bottle over, you may have got 5 pounds of CO2 in your nitrous bottle. Now, the car's going to it's not going to want to run. It's going to fall on its face. It's probably going to backfire. If some of that happens and you think you've gotten bad nitrous, change the nitrous. Get another bottle that you have not had filled at that same place. Put it in the car. Does the car run right? If it does, then that bottle needs to be taken apart, cleaned out, and then start over fresh. You've got people that use bottles that do not have siphon tubes in them. That means they have to turn the bottle upside down with that big steering wheel and everything underneath the bottom. What happens there is when that bottle is standing up, that's a steel bottle. The inside of that bottle can rust. It can shed scale rust. You can get super fine rust. You can get moisture in those bottles. The moisture comes from the guy before you used the bottle. He used it all up. He left the valve open and rolled it outside his shop. It rained. He cut grass. Dirt daubers came by. It's got water, it's got trash in it, it's got bugs in it. When the committed picks that bottle up, goes to refill it, they do not take it apart and clean it. It only has to be hydrostatted once every 5 years. So if you get that bottle, if that company roll out in the yard and you turn it upside down, all that mud, all that rust, everything goes down to the valve side of the bottle. Once you open it up, you put it directly into your bottle. I've had bottles in here that had, looked like 2 cups of mud in them. When you get mud like that into your bottle, you've basically destroyed your whole nitrous system. You're going to have to replace it. You might get the bottle apart and get it cleaned out enough, but you're going to have to replace all your feed lines. Your solenoids are going to have to be taken apart and cleaned. All the tubing, jets, everything has to be cleaned out. It's a major mistake. So if you're getting your nitrous bottle filled, make sure you go to someone that has bottles with siphon tubes in them, and they're not turning them upside down. Turning them upside down is a major way to get trash in your system. Back to you, sir.
Excellent point. Excellent point. Now, Ernie, now, I go up to the line with my bottle. I mean, you know, I go up there, I get my bottle at about 1,100 or whatever, 900 or whatever. Then I get on the line and get ready to make a pass, and I push down to around about 900 or 875 or something. Why can't I just go up there at around 800 or 875 or 900 and don't have to push you down? Why do I have to push you down wasting all that nitrogen?
Well, you know, if you're – okay, we go to the starting line, we want 950. If the bottle stays at 950, on a cool day, the bottle's going to want to cool down, and the bottle pressure is going to want to drop. On a hot day, that bottle is going to heat up, and then that's going to raise the pressure of the nitrous. Nitrous normally wants to be around 85 degrees. That's going to give you about 950 PSI. You're out there in the middle of the summer, it's 110 outside. Hell, the track's 150, 160. Your car is just a heat soak. It's taking all that heat. The bottle is heating up. That's the reason why you see your bottle pressure go from 950 to 1,300, 1,400. And you see people having to really work hard to get the bottle pressure down so that the solenoids will work. If you get the bottle pressure high enough, your purge solenoid's not going to work. It's not going to work because it has a pressure that it's limited to. And you get over that threshold, the only way you can purge at that point is somebody grab a 9/16 wrench or 11/16 wrench where you're running a 4 or 6 and loosen up the line near the solenoid, bleed some pressure down. I mean, you can bleed down. It's a bottle. It doesn't matter where it goes from, but you got to get something out of there because your pressure is too high. Your solenoids aren't going to open, and you don't want them to open because if they open at 1,400 and you're supposed to be running 950, your system just went dead lean, and you're going to have a very bad backfire downrange. So maintain the bottle pressure. Have somebody watching it. If it's going to get hot, make you a pillow out of a towel, put some ice in it, soak it, get it wet, and then throw it on the bottle. Yes, is it going to pull that bottle from 1,400 down to 950? No, it shouldn't have to. If your bottle is up to 1,050, throw the ice on it. Keep it down in the operating range that you want to be in. Don't let it get out of sight and then panic because your nitrous doesn't want to work. Back to you, sir.
All right, Ernie. Flop got his nitrous bottle in the trunk. Tim House got his nitrous bottle in the front seat. Does that make a difference on the hit of the nitrous if they one in the trunk and one in the front seat?
No, if you're running a purge, if you got the bottle in the seat beside you, that's normally about an 8-foot line. If you got it in the trunk, you're normally right there running into about a 14, 16-foot line. The line itself has got more than adequate flow to feed the Jets. A number six line is a 3/8 or a 375 opening in the line. It's going forward, feeding, okay, let's say we're feeding eight number 40 Jets. Eight number 40 Jets equals out to about a 95 main Jet. You still have 375, it's feeding 95,000. So you still have more than enough volume flow to serve that system without any problems. That's never really been a problem. Some of the other manufacturers went to a number 8, solve a problem, and they found out that the line wasn't the problem. The problem was the siphon tubes inside the bottle. Getting the nitrous out of the bottle is as important as anything else you do. So if a siphon tube is right, the valve's right, it'll maintain that line being full the whole pass with no problem. Back to you, sir.
All right, Ernie. This is a three-way question, but I want you to ask me the first two first because, you know, we ain't got to that. Carburetors again, Ernie. You got splits and you got two folds. Now we got these doggone EFI, whatever it is, with them things. But answer, what's the advantage or the disadvantage, and which is the better, the splits or the two folds? And then bring in that last question about the mother thing, them EFIs or FEI, whatever thing is. Talk to me about that, Ernie.
Okay. Over the years, when everybody started going away from a single full barrel, they went to two full barrels. Okay. That worked good. It gave more air, but you also got to remember the type of carburetors we're having to work with, the fuel system, the ignition. You had manufacturers that actually went to four barrels. They were cross-ram intakes that had two carburetors on each side. That worked pretty good. Then everybody started getting into trying to get more efficiency out of the intake rudders. And probably one of the first split carburetors I saw was Chuck Newton. And he cut the dominators in half and moved them so they would be direct ports over the cylinder heads. So you remember, we had conventional cylinder heads back then. Everything now is symmetrical. The intake parts staggered. They're almost square. So the split carburetor thing is kind of gone by the wayside. They've gone back to the 2.4s. Number one, they're less expensive. And you can jet them in, with nitrous. Once you turn the nitrous on, it all goes into, it's going to flow into the cylinders. Electronic fuel injection, you've got the big horns up there. Well, the only thing they are is butterfly horns. All your injectors are in your runners. The only thing we're doing up here on top of that intake is opening up a butterfly just like a top fuel car. It opens up. It's got a wide-open throttle switch on it that reads resistance, and it tells those injectors how much fuel to put into that motor. When it's set up right, it's the easiest thing in the world. It's perfect. You've got to have somebody that knows how to set the system up, how to work on the system, and how to maintain it. And when I say maintain it, as that system gets older, a year old, 2 years old, you may not be able to get parts and pieces for that system because they've gone to new stuff. That's one of the things I really don't like about fuel injection systems is they keep changing them and everything. Even though they're getting better and better, that means the stuff that you bought, that you thought was the best, is now just crapola, and you need to spend another $3,000 or $4,000. Carburetors, you get a carburetor right, it's going to run a damn good number. Is it going to be absolute dialed in like a fuel injection system? Probably not. But are you going to really need that absolute last 10,000th of a second? You know, if you're running against those type of guys, then money is no object. Everybody's out there chasing the last 10,000th of a second. You're going to spend money doing that. But for the average racer, I would probably stay with the carburetor. that this Holley injection system seems to be working out really nice for some of the street rod guys that do both. They can be adjusted. But a carburetor, unless you're really wanting to get in some work with a computer and taking time to tune it, carburetor, you put it on, you set the jets, no power valves, two circuits, go to the other end. Don't get much simpler than that. Back to you, sir.
All right, Ernie, we got about 5 minutes, but I'm going to ask you a question. And when you finish the question, if you want to answer it, go ahead and close yourself out if you want to answer this question. A guy called me the other day. Well, he was talking to me the other day. He said, damn, I've seen Ernie, a sponsor of a Junior Dragster or something he was saying. He said, so, Ernie, are you at liberty to tell if you're a sponsor, how do Ernie go about sponsoring somebody and what does sponsor entail? Are you at liberty to say that if you are, Ernie, answer that question? And if you don't, you don't have to.
No. Willie Toler is a gentleman that had bought some equipment from us 25 years ago. He has a son, and they got a junior dragster. And they wanted something with comp star on it. So I said, okay, let me look around here. Well, they had to run a weight bar, so I sent them up a used 2.5-pound bottle. And set it up so that they could took the bottle and you open it up, put your weight in there, close it back up, and go. He won his first race. The first year he won the championship. The second year he won the championship. He just got his new car last week and won the last race. He's doing an excellent job. He's getting a lot of exposure. One of his main tracks is out of Galat. So he's made the magazines, he's made the flyers, everything else. He gets a lot of exposure. His father now is running a S10, I believe it is. And I just sent him up a nitrous system for it. And it's fun. I mean, I've really enjoyed the junior dragster and what they're doing. It's amazing that you can take a 8-year-old, 9-10-year-old child, man, whatever, put him in a car and turn loose on the track and let him run 80 miles an hour. You would never think about doing that anywhere else. But these little cars run. Now, how do you get sponsorship? You have to be at the track. You have to be at the races. You have to be there. You have to be part of the show. You don't necessarily have to be the fastest. You don't have to win every race, but you've got to be out there working with a manufacturer. Now, if you have my equipment, of course, if we start talking about sponsorship and you're doing what we need in that financial area or race area, those different areas, whether you're in Chicago or New York, New Jersey, Midwest, South, all of them require different things from the racers. Their exposure is totally different. You've got to look the part. You've got to act the part. Clean equipment. And then participate. Show me what you can do. And then when you show me what you can do, then I can help you in different levels. We have different levels from some support, some discount on equipment, all different pricing levels, all the way to full sponsorship. Full sponsorship requires basically a car that is out there in the midst of everything, getting TV coverage, getting everything. Running the numbers, competitive. You don't have to be the world's fastest. You just got to be competitive. And then, we start talking about numbers. Numbers like everything else, everything that we give away is money that we don't make. It costs us product to ship out. So we got to see what we're going to get in return. That's the hard thing to judge. And to make that happen, you've got to keep me in touch with what's going on. It ain't all about me giving you parts. You've got to give me feedback. You know, if I just want to give parts away and not hear anything, that'd be an easy thing to do. But the feedback that you're giving me is what helps us improve the product for the next racer. We want to know what you're doing, what races you're going to, how you did at that race. Good, bad, or indifferent. We didn't qualify this weekend. What happened? Is it something that we can work out, or the car just didn't run the numbers? It's a give-and-take situation. You've got to be able to give me enough information to warrant me giving you equipment. And if I give you equipment and you just go away and you'd be surprised how many times that's done, that makes it harder on the next guy. Because, you know, I know we gave away $50,000 worth of equipment and they ain't even talking to us. Or we've supported them and all of a sudden they switched equipment. They're not running as fast, or, you know, they're having a problem, but they've changed equipment. Okay? If we're in a full sponsorship deal, you don't own that equipment. I do. So if you want to switch out and go to Brand X, fine, go to Brand X. Send me my equipment back. And we will clean it up. We will make sure everything's okay, and we can use that equipment to sponsor somebody else.
Okay.
But
all right.
Have people just come in there and say, well, you know, you give me $10,000 worth of equipment, nice knowing you. And we've had that situation, and you know some of the pro mod racers that did it. In fact, you know all the pro mod racers that did it. And, you know, I just took all the equipment back and said, okay, that's where y'all want to be.
All right.
Bye.
No problem. Good report on it.
All right.
Good report. You're on overtime, man, but good report. Good report on it. Good report. Good report. Damn good report.
Well, this is Ernie. This is Ernie with Tiny Car Nitrous Oxide Systems. I appreciate you.
I want a steak sandwich. I want a steak sandwich. I want a steak sandwich. You on overtime. I want a steak sandwich.
I'll get you a steak sandwich. You know that. They got to go with. Give us a call. 1-800-648-7687. 1-800-NITROUS. Renegade Racing Fuels. Daytona 1 Performance Petroleum Products. Silverback strings for your TV stick, fire stick needs. FTI transmissions down in Florida. Don Kennedy Race Car Insurance and the rest of our great sponsors. And you know something? They help us help you. So you need to help them sell product. If we can help you, give us a call. Dog, love you. Mean it. Guys, y'all be safe out there. Back to you.
All right, big man. Appreciate you. All right. Appreciate you, big man. We'll holler at you later. Have a good one. All right?
All right.
All right. Big Ernie is gone and up the building.
My soul has got to move.
My soul
has got to move.
There's a leak.
Yeah. I don't know where Brother D is, but dog, the song said this old building keeps on leaning. And when you think about a real physical building, when it gets to leaning or it starts leaking, they condemn the building, and then they tear it down and put up another building. Well, in this old life that we have here on this earth, when our earthly tabernacle, this flesh that we have, start breaking down, and some people are 80 and some people are 70 and 90 years old, and the old tabernacle starts to break down, well, God has already promised that he's going to give us a new building that's not made by man's hand. So we look forward to seeing and hearing God's, his voice, and meeting him face to face. So what I'm trying to tell my brothers and sisters, as each every day we get a little older, each and every week, each and every month that go by, every year gets by, this old building starts leaning just a little bit more and more and more. So it's time for us to get it together. It's time to get our building inspected. It's time to make sure we have that certificate said that it's safe. So that means that we need to get it right with God so that we can have our certificate saying safe to move on to that new building that we have. So my brothers and sisters, don't let it be too late, you know. We need to get it together. Come on, dog, because I heard you say something. Come on.
Okay. Yeah, okay, Tim, like I said, before we get into further, you know, and like I said, anytime, you know, you ain't got to say Brother D, and if he don't step in there, just step in there and keep going. But we got some we got some prayers we need to send out today for some people. Whether if anybody know Jermaine Flowers out in Texas, Jermaine Flowers out in Texas, he's been fighting a battle with cancer for a long time. Ever since I first met him, he finally passed this past weekend. Jermaine Flowers out there in Texas. I know all the Texas people know him, and a bunch of people over here probably know him. Jermaine Flowers, he passed. Also, our very own down here in South Carolina, Darren Dantzler, a.k.a. Street King, the Street King down south, his sister had a bad wreck. He lost his sister and two of his nieces in that wreck, man. So that old deaf angel is just flying over big time. Also, Big Dre out of Texas, he had a heart attack this past weekend, and he's in the hospital. So, Big Tim, if you can just do a prayer for the Flowers family, Street King family, and for Big Dre, if Brother E ain't back yet, just do a prayer, man, because this deaf angel is all around us, man, and we never know when and what time he's coming in the hour or the minute. So if you just could do a prayer for those people, man, and just a prayer for the world, man, we need to get this together. The Lord is not satisfied with something going on because he's taking us out too quick. We're having too much turmoil in this world, so we're doing something that the Lord is not satisfied with. Take it from there, Tim.
You're exactly right, dog. Hey, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you again, Lord, asking you to stop by the Flower family, Lord, and comfort them and touch them with the fingertip of love. Let them know that you're there with them and that this day will one day pass and they will understand that you comforted them. You took them through. Even though they may experience the loss, Lord, fill them and let them be filled with your love and filled with your spirit. Father God, in the name of Jesus, just touch that family because they don't know right now what to do right now. They may be confused, Lord, but we know that you are a comforter and that your spirit will saturate their hearts and their mind. And we just say thank you in advance, Lord. Continue to allow everyone that's around and knows the Flower family, Lord, let them stop by and comfort the family and let them know that they're loved and that they're going to miss their loved one. We just ask, Lord God, that you strengthen Street King's family and they're all in the loss, Lord God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just say thank you, Lord God, for the time that we have known them. And when tragedy comes in like that, Lord, we need you to strengthen their mind because their minds drift. And, Lord God, the emotions come in, and sometimes we attack each other, not realizing that it's not us, that it is a spirit that we're dealing with. Father God, fill them with love with the loss, Lord God. Father, it's just we're sorry, Lord, because we know that we're disobedient. Father God, we thank you that you spared Brother Dre's life. We talked to him on the phone, And, Lord, we just ask that you continue to bless him and that he be an example to each and every one of us, that we never know when our time is coming. But you got to get it right. And God continues to bless us, and he continues to allow us to breathe his air one more day to get it together. And if we choose not to get it together, it is our own fault. Father God, you said, you left it on record in your word that if we, when we stand before you, Lord, when we stand before you, Lord, we'll stand before you without any excuse. So, Father, we
Amen.
Just say thank you. Bless all these families. We need you right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Appreciate it, Brother Tim. Reverend Eric, Reverend Brian, if you out there, if you're able to hit the one button, Reverend Brian, if you out there, if you're able to hit the one button, hit the one button, Reverend Brian. Okay. Afternoon, there, Reverend Brian. You want to speak on some of this, Tim, because some of this is right there in your hometown, right in your state there. You want to say something about that, Reverend Brian?
Yeah, we always, man, we stay humble with this thing because we understand this transition now, Brother Willardell. We understand the transition. How God is putting us all on this call now, and he's calling the roll, man. And he's not even going by and letting you know. Some of us, he's getting us quick. But our brother, man, he gave him a long time with this disease of cancer. See, he allowed him to go a long time with it, and then now he just took him out the body. Because we believe, Brother Willardell, that body we in is decaying every day. We really believe that cancer is a powerful disease, man. But his cancer went all the way to the death. He lasts a long time with that, and God let him get some peace, I believe, out that body, man. And we don't ever keep that family prayed up, Brother Willie.
Okay, appreciate it, all right. Brother Tim, you got anything else before we get out of here, Brother Tim?
No, dog. I just wanted to tell everyone, let's try to get it together and not play with this because it's serious business. And we just say thank you, Lord, for just giving us opportunity to get it together with you. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Thanks.
Amen.
Amen.
Savior, I'm waiting on Jesus to come again.
Big House, are you still there, Big House? Tim House, you still there, Big Tim House, you still there? Tim House, are you still there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, dog. I had to get off
st- me.
Yes.
Stand by. I got something for you. Brother D, are you there? You ain't been saying that. Maybe you working still at work. Brother D, are you there? You're not there right now. Okay. Reverend Brian, are you still there, Reverend Brian? Reverend Brian.
Yes, sir.
Brother Harris, are you still there?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to cut this song short, and I just want to speak a little bit on Mother's Day. And Reverend Brian, I want you to go first, and then Tim can close us out. Reverend Brian, everybody was celebrating Mother's Day. Why do we have to just wait for one day of the year to try to set? We got some background on somebody breathing on. I don't know who it is. Why do everybody have to celebrate Mother's Day just one day? Shouldn't Mother's Day be every day that your mother is alive, or every day that you should be worshiping your loved one? Just talk to me about that right quick, Reverend Brian, if you don't mind, for just a minute.
Yeah, I really believe a lot of us do. We do that, but they just take one day out so that you just really just focus only on your mother. I really believe a lot of us that one that still have one here, even if she had transitioned, they do celebrate their mother, you know. But they just take one day out of the year and say, this is the day that I'm going to say, not me, not my kids, only my mother I'm going to celebrate. Even my wife, you know, she's the mother of my children. We celebrate that. That's why we pick that one day, just that one day. There's nothing else. We're just going to lift up our mothers. You know, I think it's a good thing, Brother Willie. And I think it's a good thing we do it all the time, too, as well.
Amen. All right, Big Al, get us out of here. Speak on that, Big Al, and we're going to get out of here. Come on, Big Al.
Well, Brother Dahl, I agree with Reverend Brian that we should celebrate all the time because there are so many unnamed heroes out there, and I'm talking about the mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers that pour out into our families and hold them together and bond them, and we just ask that they sometimes don't get recognized. And even during this pandemic, and you've seen how the first responders and nurses and doctors put their life on the line for people like us, and we don't even know their name. So it's just good to be able to tell moms, thank you for all that you do. That song that you played, dawg, no charge. I carried you for 9 months and wiped your nose and took care of you during the sickness of your life, and I had to go to work, but I didn't charge you nothing. Yeah, it's paid in full, and we want to thank God for our mothers, and we want to continue to bless them and lift them up. Not that we put them above God, but we put them at the top of the list because we have true love, and real love don't put a number on money and things of that nature. So we just tell my brothers and sisters, love your mothers while you can. Smile at them and tell them that you love them and spend time with them every now and then. Go by the house and say, Ma, I just came by just to see your face and just to say thank you while they're in the land they're just living. And we just say thank you to each and every one of the mothers that have put their life on the line for each and every one of us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just say thank you for the mothers. We thank you for us being able to recognize them and all the goodness that they have done for us. And we just say thank you for putting mothers in our lives, Lord, that love us and do everything they can to make us better. We say thank you. And most of all, we thank you for those mothers who are godly, who introduced us to Jesus Christ, that introduced us to the church. And we just say, and introduced us to the Word of God. We just say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to you, Brother Dog.
Amen. Amen.
I will be done. Trouble of the world, oh, trouble of the world, trouble, Lord, of the world. I'll sooner will be done. Trouble, Lord, of the world. I'm going home. With God no more, weeping and wailing no more. world, oh, my trouble in this world. Lord, the trouble, hell, this world. Lord, how soon will be done to trouble.
Amen, amen. People, get your house in order, people. You never know the date, the time, or the minute. Get your house in order. Get right. Come on in there, Wheelchairs. How you doing, Brother Wheelchair? How you doing, Wheelchair? Come on in there.
I'm all right, Will. We got a few upcoming events starting this weekend, May the 13th through the 15th. You got One Shot, One Kill at Capital City. Mm-hmm. Raceway in Montgomery. That's Josh Lowe. You got Big Thought Shootout at MGMP. That's the Pro Mod, the SNRA Pro Mods. And you got a Time to Grudge in Phoenix City. That's two things. May the 21st, Steel Alabama, Tarnell and Dwayne Bearden, Get It How You Live, and King of the Streets at MGMP. May the 27th and 28th. You got Clash of the Carolinas and Dawson. That's Mike Hill.
Richard, you got a lot of noise on your line, Richard. Tell the people on the line to mute their phone. Tell them to mute their phone.
I go to mute. And like I said, May the 27th through the 28th, you got Clash of the Carolinas and Dawson. That Hitman Production. Balls to the Walls. That's Pat Collins and Steel. And Tarnell got King of the Hole in West Barber. June the 4th, you got Get Down and Lay Down in Shadyside. Tarnell got June 5th in LaGrange. And they got Mandrell, Shut Up and Race, got County Day at Headhunter. And June the 10th through the 11th, you got No Medication in Orangeburg, the Damon Race. And you got a race in Bags of Stitches at Capital City Raceway. That's Pat Collins. And then on June the 17th and 18th, Ring of Fire 5 at MGMP. That's my race. All right, Willie, back to you.
All right, my man. But Wheelchair, you're doing all out there? All right, kid, you're getting late on your job. Wheelchair getting late coming in, you getting late. All y'all be lit on your job, man. I don't know. I'm gonna have to start paying y'all, man. Y'all don't, you know, y'all be getting a check, but you don't be working. Okay. All right, Chip. Anything else? Anybody on your line got anything, Chip?
Yeah, send my $40 back in. I ain't get my check for the week.
Well, I sent you $40 the night before that, so you just sent it back. I got you. I got the Vaughn last night too. I got on the Vaughn last night too. Is that body cold like that? Body.
What's going on, Doc?
What up, buddy? Man, glad to hear you, buddy. How you doing, brother? It's been a while since I heard from you, man. You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Pretty good, Doc. Pretty good.
Right. Hey, buddy, I just got a text where they had that they was pulling out a radio fest in Memphis, and they said they canceled it.
Mm-hmm.
They canceled it because they thought the track was going to be closed, or they canceled it or whatever, because I hear they got a big event out there in June. So what's going on with Memphis? You know anything about it?
I mean, corporate don't want to spend too much money. They want out, and they is really canceling. They didn't cancel everything but JJ Race and Dark Master Race. Everything
mm-hmm.
else is canceled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It won't be the last races. They don't have the last race.
Right. Yeah. Well, Bobby, the question didn't come up, and since you came in here early, might as well go and get you early. They said they know you had your race up there, and you know how to draw a crowd. What, you got any ideas where you might be having your next race at if they close Memphis down, buddy?
I'm looking to have my race in Memphis, Doc. I won't know to probably another month or so. So after the end, I'll let you know.
Okay. Well, all right. Is that the presidential announcement, buddy?
so far they got, I mean, they might be the bad guy on that deal, so it wasn't finalized yet. So
we'll
at the end of the month. Just got to keep the fingers crossed.
All right. Well, Bobby, you know, we did talk about your race. Your race be talking about the most talked about race, even more than Baldy's race at the end of the year. Why do you think you get so much talk about your race, Bobby, and people don't know that didn't go or heard about it, and I keep bringing it up because I think it needs to be recognized. If you made any money, you spent money feeding the whole track for 3 days, Bobby, and all that. Why you show so much love to the races and everybody, Bobby? Why is that, Bobby?
I have always been that way, dog. I mean, I guess I got a good heart, but I just feel like Confessor Stan overcharged people. I really do. I mean, you can go out and buy a case of hot dogs for $20, and they sell a two-pack of hot dogs out of they pay for the whole case. I just feel like a person that's spending as much money as they do at the gate, parking, to get there, hotels, I feel like they deserve to eat something. That's a big help. I mean, normally what George Howard always told me, the concession stand triple the gate, if not double, maybe double, it might triple the gate. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
In the run of a day, you're there 10, 11, 12 hours, you're going to go to the concession stand three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid if you got a child with you.
Well, Bobby, with you doing all that and trying to race a car, how you do that? Bobby, how do one man do all that, Bobby? You go there, you're racing your car, you're feeding everybody, you're promoting your – Bobby, you ain't no spring chicken. How you handle all that, Bobby?
it come natural, dog. It do wear me out when the dust settle. It wear me out, but I just feel like I owe it to the people. That's just something I wanted to do. Not everybody do it.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people do it now. But I do get a lot of support, and I think a lot of people for the support, and I just feel like I should get something back, and that's a big.
Well, Bobby, before we got it all that you said, after your race, you was ready to raise a lot of dollars, anybody, and you still got an oil pressure now, Bobby. So, Bobby, I mean, you are you looking for anybody right now, Bobby? Because what's your plan for the
Well, I think they changed my mind. I mean, we ran too close together, and I feel like we're going to try to change some stuff up on the car and come back. That's going to take a little bit. So once I get that changed up, I mean, I should be ready at any given day.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bobby, I was one of the people that said, man, ain't no way in the heck Bobby Cole gonna run Mike here with Uncle Sam. They buddies and they ain't gonna run each other. But Bobby, I'm glad you proved me wrong because that just shows you the competitiveness we got out here. You can be brothers and sisters and still race each other. So what did you think about the race between you and Uncle Sam, basically Mike Hill against Bobby Cole?
It was groomed up pretty good. I mean, I didn't feel like they could whoop me, prove me wrong. I mean, I can't say. I just said they had a better car that day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But
well, I'm got to ask you this, Anna. I'm glad you said that. Now, normally, a race like that, somebody be on here crying. I ain't heard you cry or nothing. I just heard you say, I got whooped, laughed about it, and say I'm ready for the next one. Why is that, Bob? Why some people just cry because they lose a race, Bob?
It ain't nothing to cry about. I mean, shit. You gotta. That's like John Ford say, hey, I won that round, but I got to go and try to make my car faster for the next round.
Mm-hmm.
You got to always stay prepared.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bobby, everybody's on the uproar about this 4-8-4 and 5-0. But so far, the 4-8-4's got a winning record against the 5-0's. So what's your take on that, Bobby?
I think them cars are equal at any given day, any time. If one make a mistake,
mm-hmm.
that's a dad. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't think one of them no faster than another. And, you know, the track got to be with you, got to be on the tree.
Okay, now, Bobby, you got a Tennessee Madness belt that you was going to give away. And y'all was in the line. Y'all was in the lanes ready. The next pair, the ready to run, you and Ricky Stanbrough with the salted beef. And y'all didn't get a chance to run that race. Now, so that means you said you was going to roll the belt over to Jamie's race and get it built away. Now, normally promoters don't do that at another man's race, so that's commendable that you're going to do that. But Bobby Cole, I'm talking to Bobby Cole now, Bobby Cole. Who do you really bet you want to go to right now? If Bobby Cole had to pick one team to race, who Bobby Cole want to race?
I'm going back at Uncle Sam. He got my money.
Mm-hmm.
So you want Uncle Sam?
Yeah, we got to run all year long. Me and Uncle Sam going back at it.
Mm-hmm. Kid, what you got to say about that, kid?
I'd like to see it again too.
I looked at it. I mean, he knows me out down there and shit. He done his job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
Right.
By a finger, but he turned that light on. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Drop your mic open if you want to get in on this conversation. Now, Bobby, I was privy to this. People have been calling and asking me. When we came into Memphis at your race, King Kong was considered the baddest man on the planet. Now, Baby Daddy knocked off King Kong, but now
mm-hmm.
they're saying they still think King Kong the baddest because Baby Daddy beat him because he blowed the ties. What's your take on that? I mean, just your opinion.
Baby Daddy won the race. I mean, I love to see him on the power going down through that side by side, which everybody else waiting to see. I mean, Marquis, he called me. He told me, say he wants to run him back again. We don't know where about, but it's coming, and that's something that the Grudge World really wants to go. They want to see, and that's the way it's turning out to be. Once these guys start running each other and once they start running each other and certain ones start losing, I mean, you're finna see the heat get riled up, dog. The heat is finna get riled up.
Right. So, kid, what you think about that? It's split down the middle, though. They still say King Kong the baddest man out there. But, you know, Baby Daddy says he's the baddest, and he beat him on – go ahead.
Yeah, well, if he hadn't rattled the tires, it probably would have – could have been a different outcome, but like I said, that's another race I would like to see.
I think Ricky got something he want to say.
I think
Ricky, man.
I think all them cars pretty much equal. I don't care whether it's a 4-4 or 5-inch, but to me, I'm just looking at the race. I think South of Bitch still the one to beat.
Okay. All right, bye. Come on, Ricky. Come on in there, Ricky. Somebody got some wind noise. Whoever got the wind noise, music phones, you got wind noise. It ain't bad, but you got wind noise.
That's me. That's
is that you, Bobby? Don't Bobby. Is
hey,
that
y'all.
You, Bobby?
Hey, y'all.
Don't go nowhere. Okay, hold up, Ricky. Don't go nowhere, Bobby, because I got another hell of a question for you. Don't you go nowhere. But come on, Ricky.
Dog, continue with your show. That's just wheelchair being messy today. It's fucking Monday. He's a messy motherfucker. I ain't got shit to say.
Hey, don't cuss, Ricky. We got the problems on the phone yet. Don't cuss.
I think, to piggyback off of what Pride Joe said, I mean, Ricky going to be a tough competitor. Baby Daddy going to be a tough competitor. But I can't take
mm-hmm.
nothing from now other person out there because they all got the same shit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sam ain't no pushover, and I don't think Wesley Sniper pushover. And you know Jamie,
mm-hmm.
hell, he ran right there with Ricky, so he ain't going to be a pushover. It ain't going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
The motherfucker going to work.
Right.
If they put that money up, they going to have to work for what they got.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna tell you what I saw in that Bobby Cole race.
That's the truth.
I think he was a little swirl at the bottom end. But if he wasn't
mm-hmm.
swirl at the bottom end, I think goddamn Uncle Sam would have been locked up for taxes himself.
No. Hey.
Oh, man.
Bobby was good at the bottom end, Fajo. He kind of come up off the ground at the bottom end. Me and Dada Boy seen the same thing. Yeah. Okay.
Y'all locked up for taxes himself.
Right. Hey, Ricky. Ricky Sambo.
Yes, sir.
I asked this question on the back line, but it came to the front line just after I had asked on the back line. you seem to be making better passes, shaking down, and lately when you get in the race, you don't make no good passes. What's your thought on that, Ricky? What's your thought on that? Because, like I said, that South Division is a bad luck.
Bad luck? I mean, it's, you know, missing things, just little stupid shit that happens,
yeah.
That's not to say during the race if we would have won during the race or not. I don't know that, but I know we've looked better by ourselves, but it's just not been meant for us or whatever. You know, we just so it is what it is. But hey, we gonna come back out there. We ain't gonna sit down the rest of the year. We're gonna race.
Up in the switch gear. Right quick, because this is an important something I got to get out. I wasn't going to do it, but I talked to Nephew and a couple more people, and they say I got to do it. I'm finna switch gears. I want everybody to put their phone on mute, and I'm talking to Bobby Cole. I want Bobby Cole to answer it first, and then we can take it from there. The reason I want Bobby to answer it first, he's a promoter. Wheelchair's a promoter. And I want the promoter. This is a serious question, and I ain't talking about nobody race. This question has came up before. But it came up again this past weekend, and it ain't that we're talking about nobody race, but it is a question that we need to answer. I'm only talking to Bobby Cole. Bobby Cole, I want you to answer this seriously because it might become a problem. The question is, Bobby Cole, if you putting big money up, nice chunk of money up for a race, and the two people in the finals, say for instance, Ricky Stanbro and Steven, they're in the finals. To run each other with two, they buddies, they're in the same camp. They go out there and say, hey, we're going to split the pot. We're not going to run. What can we do about that kind of situation, Bobby? Because I think that might come up a little bit more as the year go on. What you do about that, Bobby?
You can't do nothing about it, but it's to me, I feel like the guys still need to run the car under the power to show the fans what they come there to see. But if they choose to do it and not do it, I mean, they ain't want it until they go down the racetrack, if you ask me.
But it don't make no difference. They're the finals, Bobby. They still got the money. They're going to split the money, so they said, we ain't going to run out of a car. We got the money anyway. What we running out of a car for? Now, the reason I asked you that, Bobby, hold on, Bobby, let me get y'all to it. The reason I said that, and I checked a whole lot, me and Nephew did a lot of research, me, Nephew, and Monica. And then Nephew said, okay, what if they do like Shane Mosley and them did that time? When Shane Mosley and them did that time, when they both of their cars was in the final, they just went up to the tree and just rolled down the track. Which one is best? Not racing? Just going down the track looking like shit? Or what, Bobby? What are we going to do, Bobby?
I mean, I would rather – listen to me, dog. Listen to me good. They in the finals. They don't take the tree.
Yeah.
They ain't in the finals.
Well, yeah, it don't make no difference, Bobby. They still gonna win the money. They number one and two.
They ain't won the money until they go. They got to break the tree, dog. Go down to the. I would rather for them to go down there, but they don't have to.
Well, Bobby, technically speaking, they ain't won the money, Bobby.
They ain't won the money
to one of them
turn the wind light on, dog. If they don't decide to go up.
Can I chime in on that?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah,
Heard. What I've always heard, if they do not run under power in the finals, then you just – it's basically these people split the finals, and that's it. There's no winner. You know, they split the money in the finals.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, Ricky. That's what I'm saying. Bobby, just listen to the real good, Bobby, because I need some good information, Bobby. I need good information, Bobby. That's what I'm saying. They don't care about who won or not because – they the two people in the final. They gonna split the pot. They gonna split the pot.
You could always have the promoter say y'all can come to this race, but whoever's the finals will be, the finals is gonna be run, or they will no money be paid. I mean, he could skip that before the race, and they would have to run because it is in the rules of the race.
Okay. Stop right there. Bobby, I need y'all to stay with me, Bobby. I'm trying to cover all that because me and Taylor went through it. Me, Taylor, and Monica went through all this. Okay, if they do say, okay, if you want to do that, Mr. Bobby Cole, Mr. Promoter, me and Wheelchair, we're going to go up there. We're going to break the beam and just roll down the track. Now, what is that worse than them not even taking it at all? talking to y'all.
I mean, no. I mean, it's showing the fans that that's what they wanted to do. But, I mean, and technically, if you ask me, dog, and all around, they ain't won shit till they cross, one of them crossed that finish line.
Well, Bobby, they don't want first and second place. I don't think they're going to split in that. That they're going to split that up evenly.
Wait a minute with you. If you in the final, you ain't won shit. If both cars broke, you ain't won a motherfucking thing.
Bobby, don't curse, Bobby. If there's a nice trophy, belt, or plaque involved, usually they'll race, put the money, but they're going to race for that. So that helps them get that race done. That's just a suggestion. I've just saw it a bunch. Every time I've ever not had it, they split, versus when I had something to give them, they went ahead and raced for it. You know, they might have split the money 50-50, but they raced for that trophy or belt or whatever.
Me and Nephew said that. Bobby, what if they both go up there, like I said, just take the tree and roll down the thing? What are the fans seeing in?
I mean, that ain't looking like the promoter did some bullshit. I mean, that'll be on there.
Okay.
I mean, the fans want to see them run side by side with them. If they just break the thing, you just got to break it down and say, hey, they was in the finals and they decided not to run each other. Boom, boom, boom. There it is.
Okay. I got you. Daddy boy, come on, Daddy boy. Daddy boy.
But I was just going to say this. You can't really determine why people don't go down the track, but I think it would help if a promoter putting his money up and he knows some of these guys are kind of like, all right, or in the same camp or same team, to get an understanding on the front end. Now, look, if you two motherfuckers end up in, oh, you said on cut. If you two end up in the final now, we want, you know, what we going to do? We need to get an understanding of what y'all going to do. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, just up front, dog. You know, I mean, we need to know. Now, we pretty much know who's in this damn game.
So in all levels, you know, we used to see John Force and all of them and them team, them big boy teams, when they go up there, they said, is one of them going to lay down and just let them win or not? But they still went up there, though. Is that what you're saying, Bobby? Is that what you said? They still got to go up there, though, Bobby? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. To help my show on out, you got to go ahead and finish the race out. I mean, that's what we're looking for.
Right. Brother D, did you fall off and come back, or you got something you want to add on to this game? Brother D, because you
wouldn't
want to go.
I fell off. I think it's an easy fix, if you're asking me. And the reason where we ended up, I really think it's an easy fix. The easy fix would be, hey, you skip everything else, you make your own rules. One of your rules could be before the race start. If you don't go down the track under power, you're not going to win. I think that would be an easy fix. I don't see, but that's a big one. I have done that
on one of my kids lately. You know, when we didn't have stuff,
exactly.
I said, hey, y'all, you can do what you want with this, but you're going to have to run for it. You got to go up there and run for it.
That's especially if you got a four-car shootout. You got a four-car shootout,
I ain't
too fast.
But also, it's got to be safe conditions, too.
Oh yeah. That condition ain't coming in here. We just saying how jokers.
Hey, dog. I got a question.
If they already agreed, they're gonna split the money. What happens if one of them just act like their car broke and load up? They gonna get the same amount. So what happens? They don't agree.
Be quiet. After that, Bobby, you got a point there. What if one of them just said a car broke and they ain't going to bother?
I go back to say one thing. If you win first round, win second round. You win third round. Now you in the final.
Uh-huh.
You ain't won shit. I mean, that's like a no-show.
No, no, Bobby. Bobby, the question was, Bobby, one of them going to go up there, but the other going to say he's going to pretend like his car broke. He's just going to say his car broke. Can you not?
Bobby missing where they already agreed to split the money before they even get up to the line. So they're going to get money regardless. So that's why they've been idling down the track, and I know the situation y'all are talking about. But what if they own teams, and they get in the fouling, and we just want a car stay at the trailer like his battery dead or something, it won't crank, didn't charge his car, and the other go up there. They still getting the money. One's just going to get the credit of a win, and one's going to get second place. You know,
that's it.
They don't agree to get the money. Split the money.
Come on, Bob.
Got to carry the show out. I love them to carry the show out.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I know.
Sometimes you see it in the grudge world that they don't have to, they don't want to, so that's fine.
All right. Okay. All right. No problem. Okay, good report, guys. Thank y'all for participating. Thank y'all.
As,
I appreciate
as
it, man.
As racers trying to be good to fans, you know, we do need to try to finish the race, even if we're on teams or whatever. I mean, you know, if you do it to where if you want to do that, just, I mean, you make it interesting. The winner gets 500 more than the loser does or whatever,
right.
You know. But for the fans, it should be go up there and race, really should.
Yep. Hey, you can say you get more, though, Bobby. But I'm telling you, Bobby, the $500, I'm going to go back to the pit. I'm going to give him $250 still, so we still get the same money. But I understand what you're saying. Now, we did come up with the suggestion that when you got them trophies or a belt or something, somebody do want that trophy or belt, so they will go up there and try to, they'll go up there and try to win that trophy or the belt before they go up there and try to win the money. So, all right. I just thought about that, guys. Appreciate
hey,
y'all for the cooperation. Appreciate
dog.
It. Yeah.
Put me back out.
Yeah.
My one button won't work. I got some on my line.
Okay. Okay. Appreciate it, Bobby. I appreciate all y'all, man. But, I was asking Bobby because he's the most outspoken. And, I mean, you know, I just wanted to hear what he had to say, and we was going to build from that. But some good answers for everybody, y'all. All right, with that being said, I'm going to go on and do the bad report. Anybody got a bad report out there they want to give? Anybody out there want to give any recognition to any of the people out there this week? Because my bad report, I'm going to tell you before we get started, is mainly coming from Alabama. It's going to mainly be coming from Alabama. But anybody got a bad report out there, if your mic was already open, your mic's still open, go ahead on, as long as it's one at a time. Brother D, you got a bad report, Brother D? No, you ain't. Fajo, you got a bad report?
No, I haven't.
All right, I'm going to close y'all mics as I go. I'm going to get a bad report, then we can discuss whatever y'all want to discuss. Kids, you got a bad report this week, kid?
No, I don't have anything, adult.
All right, Brother Flop, you got anything this week, Flop? Flop. If you had to flop, you got anything. All right. Anybody on wheelchair line, guys? Bobby, you got anything to say? Wheelchair, you got anything to say? Anybody on wheelchair line? We got anybody
I
that needs to be recognized? Okay, good
thing
report,
I Bob. Saw was, something I saw was
mm-hmm.
Pat Collins and the dog standing in the I did forget to do at my race because it shut down and you left. I had a trophy for you. Put a microphone made on
oh.
And everything.
Now, oh, man. Come on.
Trophy.
Don't make me start crying now, Bobby. Don't make me start crying over here now.
From the boys. I mean, really from the grudge world. I mean, we're so
right.
Thankful for the things that you do and the things that you bring to the table for the show. And everything that you do for in bad situations, good situations, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know what I mean? We really appreciate you, man, and the stuff that you do is uplifting, and it carries this grudge world a long way. People are dumbfounded at some of the things that we do, and some people that really knows a whole lot. I mean, you got a lot of people on here that's got a lot of knowledge about racing. I mean, and we really want to just say thank you, man, for all that you have done and all that you put up with down through the years, man. I got that trophy. I'm going to give it to you at Jamie Race. And
okay.
Your service is very much so needed in this grudge world, in this community.
Yeah. Well, Bob, that means a lot, man.
Communicate.
That means a lot.
Get to communicate with
show.
Other people. Yeah, for
right,
us, get
right.
To communicate with other people, meet different people have different views and shit, I mean, you do keep it more or less organized and under control better than anybody that I know. So I just want to say thanks again for all that you do, man, and making my show a successful show, bringing us to where we are today. I really don't know where we would be without you. You know what I mean? I really don't know where we would be without you at this point. So,
you're gonna have me over here crying. But like I said, I got to admit, I appreciate Bobby that you recognize that. And see, Bobby, a lot of people don't understand me and you. If me and you know all about certain things, we can't never bring it to the people. That's why I remember I told you when we first started going, Bobby, I said, Bobby, stop doing what Bobby's going to do. Do what the whole world might do. Because, you know, you're a gangster and I'm a gangster. We can't just do what we'll do. Because we do what gangsters do. We got to look at the whole world. So I go out and try to learn as much as I can about all the rules. Any situation that I think is a problem that I don't know, I bat it off the morning show. I bat it off you. I go to Phil Shuler. I try to get it because once we put these things out on these shows, man, we need to know what we're talking about. We don't need to come on these shows and say something and somebody hit one part of the head and then they run away with it. Just like the other day when I was on Big Eddie's show, I think it was Big Eddie's show, and they was asking about Leak and Leon, the race with Leak and Leon and Smoking down there. All right, and they asked the question about if Smoke had went on down there and hit the wall. In that race, since Leak and Leon never took the tree, since he never took the tree, it was just like Smoke had a by run. Smoke could have went around there and jumped across the wall if he wanted to. He still won once that beam fell. He still didn't won that race because it was just like a signal. So they misunderstood what I said and twisted the wrong way about it. That's why I say I go out and get all the knowledge I can about anything I can. And before I even bring it out, because I want what I say to be right, because like I said, we need to educate some of the other people and some of the other people, so it don't start no problem. Go ahead, Bob. Come on, Bob.
I do truly want to say, in a situation like that, we have had this problem once before, but man, listen, clean your car out, rear bone it, snout on it, do everything you got to do before you even touch the pre-stage.
Exactly.
When you roll down and turn that fucking pre-stage on, do not intimidate a pushing your car in neutral, looking over or looking back, because that little bit of second you can be lost 10,000.
Exactly.
Take that goddamn tree, you is ready for the world. Do not get caught pushing that motherfucker up in neutral or setting that ribbon on the motor. That shit is crazy because in the heat of the moment, in the tense of the moment, you ain't thinking about it's on the tree on auto. You ain't thinking about it.
Yeah, there you go, Bobby. There you go, Bobby. There you go.
You put the money together. You hyped up the race. And all that shit breaks out of your head. But you have to always remember that fucking tree on automatic unless you say something different. When you push
Thank
that
you.
Fucking first bulb on, you better be ready to push your motherfucking ass in that goddamn beam. Not purge the nitrous down. None of that dumb ass shit, because it ain't going to cost you nothing but some motherfucking heartache and trouble.
And I'm glad, I'm not glad he did it, but the guys that was with Leon, they stole him, he had counted out too, and that stopped a lot of stuff. So I'm glad these guys are learning, and they learn this shit from these shows and from people telling the truth. That's why if you don't know, don't tell somebody something about a rule if you don't know what you're talking about, because you don't know who you're telling. And it's the wrong person that'll say, hell no. This ain't going to go. That could have started a ride right there. But if people that was with me on told him, yeah, man, you got counted out.
I saw the race on video afterwards, but I saw that damn red light fall, so I know he hadn't got in there.
Yeah.
I mean,
he didn't get in there. He didn't. And Leon came back and admitted that. He said, yeah, I messed up. He came back and admitted himself, too, though. But like I said, that could have been for some of these young guys that don't know nothing about race and the rules, that could have been a wall right there.
It could have been a
bad
misunderstanding. Yeah, it could have been a bad misunderstanding.
And I was a DP man, and Bobby, like you said, and I was a DP man, and I went over there. I had to get between Leon and the starter because they was finna go at it. And I told Leon, I said, Leon, you lost unless the smoke said he'll let you run it over again. So I held the money. Didn't get the money to nobody, Bobby. When Smoke come back over there, I said, Smoke, you win, but if you want to get a man a rerun because he got counted out, it's up to you. Smoke said, nope, I done lost like that. I know the rules. I want my money. So I paid him, and everything was okay, Bobby.
Yeah, you had no reason but to pay him. Right. You're right about that. That was a good deal. You look out for him on his behalf. So.
Yeah, yeah. I told him.
Hold on. I want to bang up a little bit, though. I want to bang up to what Bobby, what Bobby was talking about, the stuff you bring to the game. You're good at what you do, and everybody that I know that's good at anything got an edge to them. You know, some people say how nasty you is and this and that. But most people that are good at anything got an edge. But now on the funny side, I want to know, did you use your shirt sleeve, tissue, or paper towel, or
now,
I know your ass teared up over there.
Y'all go ahead.
Oh, man.
Hey, believe it or not, Danny boy, I did tear up, Danny boy. I went on mute. I went on mute and wiped my eyes. I went on mute, Danny boy. Bobby said that
I
shit,
really
man.
Yeah. I mean, I really want for the promoters to come on here and me and just get a point of view about things like that because, I mean, without you, I don't know what they'll do, bro. I'm serious about that now. I don't even think they'll go to other shows as often as we go to your show. I don't think they'll do that. You know?
Well, like I said, Bobby, I ain't bragging. I just do it, Bobby. I just wanted to be right. So
I'm
glad
you
to be
did
right.
That,
I thought it. Yeah.
I'm glad you did that.
Yeah. We understand. With me telling me, yeah. I mean, it makes me feel
really
good at it, guys. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad you did that. But, you know, like I said, I got plenty of help. It ain't just me. I have help. I have him.
He need to hear from other people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm glad you did.
Everybody in the garage world use your show as a platform. I mean,
yeah.
Well, I've told him several times, so I ain't telling
you
no
they
more.
They pay you for your service, but they don't give you the thanks that they should give you. And I think that you really need that, and you deserve it because, I mean, you make the show. I mean, you make everybody's event much more greater than it could have been. It makes it much greater.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't realize how many people waiting to hear you talk shit on the goddamn
Even that Pat Callan dumbass recognizes that. That's why Pat tries to get him to come to every race.
I mean,
y'all know Pat.
You have a whole lot of older people that's sitting there laughing at the shit that you say and do. I mean, it's appreciated coming from me. In the morning show, you know.
No, I appreciate it, guys. You know, like I said, that's one thing. That's why I don't pat my own back. You know, I don't go around trying to brag about it. I just try to do the right thing. And like I said, there ain't no defense against the truth. So as long as you're dealing with the truth, that's the best you can do. And I try to make sure I get everything right before I put it out there. Because like you said, Bobby, most of them take my word as gospel. So I want to make sure if it's taken as gospel, it's the right thing, you know. And if it's wrong, we come back to correct it too.
Right. I mean, I just think the service worth more than money. You know what I mean? That shit
takes
a long way. Definitely.
I'll just say this. You wouldn't be one of the personalities of the biggest radio race in the country every year, twice a year, whatever, if you didn't bring a lot to the table.
Well, hey man, did y'all get together and say y'all was gonna do this today? Did y'all get together and do this?
No, I ain't talking to nobody today. It's my first time on the show.
I ain't talked to him since we's in Memphis.
Right.
I haven't, no shit.
If you don't catch that guy, you ain't gonna be talking to nobody.
Yeah, I got you. All right, I appreciate
you got
it,
a lot of
I appreciate
people
it. Like
say, hey. Hey, dog, I do want to say one thing. Dre on the show, man, but he had a heart attack Wednesday. And he ain't doing
too much. We said a prayer for him, Bobby. We did a prayer for him.
Okay. I had just got on, so.
Damn.
We did a prayer for him.
A lot of ups and downs. I mean, a lot of people don't say nothing. They don't never want to listen at the prayer show, but they come on here, they need that prayer. Everybody need prayer, man. I don't give a damn how.
Well, see, that's what I be saying, and I wish we wouldn't do that. That's what I'm saying. If we gonna, just like I said, coming on this show and support me. If I got a prayer show, come on there. You just come on there and wave your hand. Believe it or not, you just come on there and wave your hand.
I mean,
now I'm gonna show y'all about it. I'm gonna show y'all. Come on.
I always remember one thing, and that's to anybody on the other side of this phone. There's no man or woman good enough to die.
Mm-hmm.
Die is the best of your. You can win $1 million and fall dead right there.
Mm-hmm. Living your best life, if you can die, man.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, whenever you got a listening ear for some prayer, you need it.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean,
right about that.
You got more listening ear for that, for the foolish in the bull crap. They'll run from that good book.
Exactly.
That's what wakes up in the morning and take you a long way.
Exactly.
Every day. God give you 7 days, you don't ask for one, and we can't give him a hour out of that one day.
Well, now we get the hell of a show out of this. Yeah. Pajo, you own Pajo. Pajo, you own.
Be mindful that God is real. Well, you can feel.
Well, Pajo, hold up. 601-9486. You have something you want to say? 601-9486. All right, hold up, I can't get Pajo Michael. My board is refreshing. My board is messing up on me. Y'all hold up. I'm trying to get you. But Bobby, are you there, Bobby? Just to show you, Bobby, when I always told you, Bobby, just tell the right answer. I tell you, I'm getting the bow now. Pajo, what you got, Pajo?
I just want to just come on with Bobby saying about you, man. I met you on the telephone. I called you. It's been about 5 or 6 years ago. And for me, coming on this show, listening to this show, y'all have made me a stronger person and gave me motivation to do things other than just sit around the house and dream about going to the racetrack. Y'all dog my ass out, motivated me. But that's what a person needs sometimes. And all I can say is, dog, you're a strong son of a bitch, and you're helpful, you're wise, and you tell people the truth. And a lot of people can't take it, but when you take it at heart and listen to what you say, you're learning something. I learned from Bobby Cole, Wheelchair, everybody on this phone. And this is a family that I never thought in life that I would ever meet or be around, but y'all are more family to me than some bitches around here in the street.
Amen. All right. Okay.
One thing about life, well, you don't listen to nobody, but they can't teach you shit, you don't need to be talking to them.
You got a point?
If a person can't learn you nothing or lift you up, ain't no sense in talking to them.
I
learned a lot from this show, from you, dog, Bobby Cole, everybody, Ricky, everybody. Learn how to handle life, everything.
Yeah, we all need a helping hand.
All that stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why I was going to mention that, too. We all okay, Pajo. I'm gonna close you back up because I got something I got to get to. Me and Bobby, when Bobby used to come on, Bobby was for Bobby. I preached to Bobby every chance I got. Bobby, don't answer for Bobby. Answer for the world. And just to show you how people pay attention to shit, I'm gonna read this text I just got. I'm gonna read it verbatim. Bobby, you still on there, Bobby?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm gonna read this text verbatim. It says, Bobby is a stand-up guy. He has been promoting Jamie Reyes since his race. Whatever didn't happen at his race, he's willing to push it to Jamie's race. That's a stand-up, in my opinion. You see how people notice this and stuff, man. Y'all think people just don't. People notice a lot of stuff, so sometimes it do us good to do the right thing because you never know who's watching you or who knows you. But like I said, the morning show got a big influence on a lot of stuff, and Bobby Cole. Certain people got a big impact on stuff. So when we do stuff, we need to do it right. We need to cut out some of all the joking and all the shit sometimes, and we need to do the right thing. The prayer show has become a damn good prayer show. We all need to just come in there and just to wave your hand, man. Them guys need uplifting like us. Now, Bobby, I'm getting nervous over here because they said give you your flowers while you're still living. I don't reckon I'm finna pass away from here. Y'all being so nice to me tonight. I don't reckon I'm finna goddamn go to sleep and don't wake up.
That dog, that crossed my mind, too. you have to recognize people when they hear and doing good things. I mean, a lot of people just don't do it. I mean, after my show, it goes head on. They're going to pay you to do something else. I mean, you ain't for sale.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at one day you're going to get tired. I mean, you're going to get tired of this. I mean, you might want to do something totally different. But who knows?
Right.
I think that needs to be recognized and it needs to be said. I just had it on my heart to say it. So that's what it is for me.
I appreciate it a million.
I mean, I was going to stop the whole race and do that, man. I went to get them trophies, and I saw that microphone. He had a plaque with a microphone on it.
And I said, can you take me? Can I buy? He said, man, I just got a microphone in today, brand new. He said, I can put it on top of that trophy. I said, well, well, hell, put that motherfucker on there just like the number one. So he done it.
Yeah.
I got it, and when you left, and I forgot to give it to you after you called me back talking about the hotel and shit. You talking about the hotel and shit. I told a few people about what you said. I they laughed like motherfuckers.
Did you get, did anything get sent out on the hotel, Bobby? Did anything get sent out on the hotel?
Yeah. They had some more people names on there. They had charged my card up to way too much money.
Well, if y'all didn't know what Bobby talking about, Bobby, I told Bobby, thank you, Kiki. I told Bobby, I went to Memphis, a black dude. I left there, I was white, because he put us in the, they called it the Graceland, the Elder Press, on the Elder Press Boulevard, the hotel. Outstanding damn hotel. Outstanding. I'm saying. Think about it. They had, now if you took your girlfriend or somebody else's girlfriend and you know you was cheating, in the room I got in there, they said, hello, Mr. Bobby. And they had a doggone fruit, peanut sandwiches, and cocktail glasses. And I said, what the hell? I said, Bobby done went all out, but it was an old lady. When I come in the hotel, you know, I got to admit now, if you don't get no valet parking, you got to walk damn near 8 miles to get to the damn hotel because they're going to put you down there in the parking lot. By the time I got in the hotel dragging my bag, and you know I left anyway, I left in the hotel. It had to be an old lady, about 90 years old, that was working behind it. What you call her? She said, sir, you okay? I said, yes, ma'am. I'm looking for my room there. She said, what room you got? She said, what room you got? I said, I got a room. She said, let me get you a cart to help you do this same thing. I was saying, okay. This the South. This in the present. I'm black. Man, the thing done changed since I come up. That old lady, she 80-something, looked like she 80, 90 years old. She went and got me a buggy, put my bag on this buggy, and damn, it was finna take me to my room. I said, shit. I got to the room. I opened the door. I said, damn, this is an expensive-ass room. Everything was perfect, man. I mean, that's the cleanest hotel I ever been to. Now, I do a lot of traveling. They got some nice hotels, but that was the cleanest hotel I've been to. Head over there. How you doing, Mr. Bobby Cole? They had a damn little, I mean, called Bobby Reserve Room. They had a damn, the envelope said, hello, Mr. Bobby Cole. And like I told you, they had fruit laid out there, gummy bears, sandwiches. I mean, what the hell going on here? If I had to know that shit, I would have had it. Man, I'm just telling y'all, Bobby did it up down there. I don't,
You didn't need no carton shit for no plastic bag you had. On the back of your
That old lady come out there and took care of me. And she did.
Oh, okay.
She said, your room is not far off the elevator. As soon as you get off the elevator, go. I got off the elevator. There was one room there and my room right there. I said, thank you. Because normally I got to walk up and down that long-ass damn.
They asked me, did any of y'all want to eat breakfast? Was you going to eat lunch? Did you want to eat dinner? They need the valet park, the cars. I mean, they called me and asked me all that.
That was outstanding now. Like I said, I don't know how much Bobby paid for him, but if he didn't get a discount, he damn near ought to be broke.
I got him for a
discount. Because I know damn well. Yeah, I know damn well. Them rooms right there probably $400-$500 a night.
Yeah, they $400-$500 a night. Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you, boy. That was outstanding service, boy. Outstanding. And now, if the theme is the Elvis Presley, and that's all they play, the Elvis Presley movie and all that, and now they have busloads of people coming there, and they there. And like I said, now, we in Memphis, Tennessee, and they have the shuttle bus come up there. I see about 40, 50, 60, remember, elderly, middle-aged white folks, and they were just friendly, just speaking and just as kind. I'm saying, damn. Man, this ain't like when I came up. I said, shit.
Did you get a chance to see Elvis while you were down there?
Yeah, I seen Elvis. Man, I love Elvis. I was an Elvis Presley fan when I first come up. Cause, like I said, you know, we only had one, you know, the one TV or one whatever. And the white station was the main station that came off back when I was growing up. I was an Elvis Presley fan when I was a kid. I love Elvis Presley. Used to watch his movies and shit, man. And you couldn't tell me nothing about Elvis Presley now. I love Elvis Presley.
Yeah, with some blue suede shoes on.
That motherfucker was bad, though.
Elvis Presley was bad, though. I love the movies he was in. Bob, what's the name of that hotel? Grace, was it Grace Grace and Court of
the guest house,
yeah. And it's on Anderson Boulevard.
We got two of them. We got the Heartbreak Hotel. It's across the street, Heartbreak Hotel.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Not the Heartbreak.
Guest house got like 600 rooms in it, I think. It got 500 to 600 rooms.
Right. But like I said, now, you know what I did see, though? Now, I did see when I got up there now. I didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
They might have been there, but I didn't see them. I didn't see one white person cleaning up or talking. And they were all black. I didn't see no white folks.
Oh, man. In other words, they were prejudiced. They wasn't pregnant.
I don't know. No, but I'm just saying, though,
okay.
But, you know, that's the best hotel I've stayed in since I've been traveling. I'm going to put it that way. Now, I done been to Las Vegas and all them places in Cali. I done been all there. That was the nicest hotel I done, well, you know, for us overall, that's the best hotel I done been in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't get me in Las Vegas and stuff. They do that because they want you to come in there and spend all your money and everything and all that. So I know they going to do it. But that hotel, that was, if you never, even if you don't stay there, you ought to go by there. They have a tour of something in that tour. They take you to a tour of everything. That's something nice, man.
How you get a goddamn room like this for a nigga, man?
Kid, let me tell you what fucked me up now, kid. I'm gonna tell you what messed me up real bad, kid. Well, you know, I'm GPSing, y'all. I don't know where that right. So,
right.
I come to the light and the things that turn now.
Mm-hmm.
I see that big ass gate and all that. I said, hold on. I still have been in the wrong place. I go up to the damn gate. I pull up to the gate. I'm looking around. The gate kicked me a ticket out. I pulled the ticket out. When I pulled the ticket out, it opened the gate up, right? I drove on in there. I'm saying, shit. Where the hell I pulled the park at with this big valet parking over here? Shit, I ain't no damn valet parking. I ain't paying shit. So I finally rode around there and figured the shit out, kid, park. That's when I hopped my old ass up there with my bag, and the old lady got me when I got in the gate. I'm looking at this big-ass hotel room, I'm saying. And they said, what's your room number? I said, I take on my room number, I showed. Because at first I said to myself, now, I might be in the wrong hotel. I'm saying, because see, Bobby, I told Bobby, send me the address, and you know Bobby, his dumb ass. I said, this might, what I'm saying is, kid, you know, I'm from the country, but I done been all the way. Looking at, this ain't no hotel for no Negroes to be staying in. Ain't no racetrack.
So,
I'm still thinking, I might be in the wrong hotel, kid. Because every president, too, and all I hear is every president moving. I don't see no cigarette butts on the ground. I don't see no trash nowhere. It's just so, everything's just so fucking clean, man. It's just so clean, man. Like, soon as somebody put a cigarette down, somebody must be there to pick it up. I'm saying, I ain't never seen no hotel this clean. Yeah.
You got over 1,000 motherfuckers working that a day. 1,000.
I ain't lying, Bobby. I ain't lying. The kid, it wouldn't mess me up, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you go to a hotel and you see a glass. If you see a glass entrance, you know damn well that glass all smeared up, got fingerprints on it, the shit that's faded.
Yep.
That glass, if you didn't know that glass there, you run into that damn thing, man. You run into that damn glass.
Lord,
yeah, it was that clean. If they didn't put a stick or something on there to say that's a glass, they'd been in broke because you'd have walked right into it because it was so damn clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, that's enough of y'all. If y'all, that's enough of you. That's what we're doing the battery for. Bobby, y'all got me over here.
Oh, man.
I'm feeling good. Yeah. Anything else you want to say about that hotel, Bobby? Tony Brown's in there. You know how to get out. I got smart though. I know you got to get out. You use your key. All you do is put your key. You got to swipe your key to go when you're going out. So I had that ticket. I said, "What am I gonna do with this ticket?" She said, "Bring it over here, son, and let me look at it." And he looked at it. Said, "What's your room number?" That same old lady. She said, "Oh, you got free parking and all that." So Bobby must have had it. Well, we had free parking or some shit, you know. I had to pay it though.
You know Tony Brown from Augusta. He ain't used to nothing like that.
I know Tony wasn't used to it. Tony came to the track and said, I know he wasn't used to it.
Boss, he went in there and turned the shower on, motherfucker was washing his ass and singing at the same time.
I forgot to tell you, too. That shower was so clean, I pulled the door now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm taking a shower. I'm looking at the shower. You know how you look at the damn shower where it spray right on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm over there turning them different knobs, and all of a sudden, they got a shower head up in the top of the damn shower coming down. I said, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes, sir. So I stayed in that damn shower about 20, 30 minutes, just sitting up under that good warm water, because my shoulder was hurting. I had it crooked my neck. It ain't like I'm country, y'all, and I'm having a good time. The band that could on the office
the
and country.
Just get the crook out the neck.
Bobby, I'm trying to tell you, Bobby, I'm good, Bobby. That massage, I've been using massage, but what I'm saying is, Bobby, you know, when I lay down, I mostly still laying the wrong way. I'm good, though. I'm good, Bobby. But I'm just saying, I'm talking about when I was at the hotel down there. Yeah. But anyway, let me go with this battery for a minute. I've been talking to y'all got to cuss me out for a minute. I'm finna close you up, Bobby. Don't go nowhere, right? You don't need nobody open the battery for the kid. Y'all might not recognize some of these battery pole people because they mostly Alabama, but I'm finna give you the official battery pole for this week. I asked anybody if they want to come on and get anybody in their props. They don't know. I don't know what happened to Big Hector out in Texas. Nobody know to tell me, so I called and asked. I didn't get no answer. He did go down to Florida and slap the shit out of King Kong down in Florida, but here's the official battery pole, and y'all ain't going to like it. And I forgot. Josh Lowe. Josh Lowe out there. We'll get Josh Lowe in a minute. Anyway, and I know Pat Cannon ain't going to like this and shit because he mad as shit, though. But whether they like it or not, here it is from my perspective. The official bear of the week. The official bear of the week. You can have a she-bear. Well, she is a damn woman. It's Brandi Butler, Miss Athena. It's the official bear of the week. Brandi Butler, Miss Athena. Okay, Josh, I got you, big boy. I got you, Josh. It's Brandi Butler. Y'all don't know or not though. The Cub is JoJo 2.0. That's Tron and Irving was driving a little Mustang down there. JoJo 2.0 Tron and Irving. The Bully is Chop from XXX. XXX, I think he out of Florida. XXX, they came down there and was bullying everybody and got the shit beat out of him at the end though. He lost so much money down there, I got time. The Thot, I hate to say it. Dwayne Bearden and Casey and them, they was racing their ass off. But every time they got up there, they got the shit slapped out of them. So the title has got to be Cash Dane, Dwayne Bearden and crew. 3 months. Y'all stop texting me. When I asked for the battle report and told y'all to do it, y'all didn't do it. Now I'm doing my battle report. Don't tell me no battle report now because I ain't going to say it. The Jackass is a car they call 4 Eyes, Lil Hal. He bet a man that he was going to gaff him for $4,000. He betted Tron Irving with JoJo 2.0 $4,000 that he was gonna gap it. Now, before the race, that was a pretty good bet, and I liked the bet myself. During the race, man, that man got gapped. That man betted $4,000 he was gonna gap the man that gapped him. So that is the Jackass of the week. The Lamont Falcon is none other than my buddy. I gotta give him something because he don't listen. He's a hard headed motherfucker. He's hard headed than Bobby Cole. Bobby Cole, who else? Danny Boy, and 3-4 more motherfuckers that ain't gonna listen. Pat Callen. Pat Callen is a Lamont Sapper. He had a 6-car shootout that he just gave away money, and his dumb ass was in it, and he let the woman beat the shit out of him. Anyway, the Lamont Sapper is Pat Callen. Most impressive and honorable mention, I'm gonna say Big Hector, because I didn't hear anything else about Big Hector when they went to Texas. I don't know if they drowned his ass over there or what happened to him. So did nobody tell me that, and I didn't know nothing. So that's all he's going to get. Honorable mention and most impressive, because I know he was on a tear there. That was my man Jamal at Silver Surfer. Best race of the week was XXX, and Hancock them had a brand-new turbo Mustang out there that he was in the shootout. Everybody out there was betting on XXX. That Hancock turbo Mustang fucked him up. Me and nephew out there, we got paid. Nephew won so much money out there, I think he left Monaco at the track. You know, I think he left Monaco at the track. Him and Tuke left. Nephew won so much money. I won a couple of dollars on that too, though. Best host of the week was Charles Pierce. That's my homeboy. They got a restaurant. Bobby, they have some barbecue chicken, mac and cheese, collard greens, baked beans, cornbread, and a drink. They brought me that, man. I picked the chicken up to bite it. It fell off the bone. Lord, how much. I got mad and went back and told them they ain't got no more. They said they got that from the restaurant. I said, but I thank you. That is the official bad report. You might not know these people because if you're from Alabama, you probably do it. Bad of the week was Brandon Butler, Miss Athena. The Cub is JoJo 2.0, Tron Irvin. The Bullet is Chop with the Triple X Mustang. The Thought is Cash, Dwayne Beard and the K&M crew. The Jackass is Four Eyes, Little Hal in the Stain. Bet that dumb ass shit and got his ass gal. Lamont Stafford is my main buddy, Weird Kid, Pat Gallen. Anyway, most impressive and honorable mentions, Big Head, the driver of the week was Brandon Butler. She was killing him on the tree. She destroyed him on the tree. Best raiser of the week was Triple X and Hancock, both Mustangs. Triple X got up in there. That damn Mustang went straight down Broadway. And the best host of the week was my homeboy, Charles Pierce, with the restaurant with all that good food. So that was the bad of the week. Kid, your mic was open. You could have said something. I know you don't know them people. I'm finna open these mics up. Bobby, your mic back open. You and Kid, y'all need to keep the show going. Don't ask me no questions. I'm going to Facebook to post this bad of the week stuff. But that's the bad of the week, and that's the report. If anybody got any questions, I know, Ricky, but Ricky, I got to do what I do, Ricky. I want to get it out and let y'all get a chance to talk about it if y'all want to talk about it. But, but it was a damn good race down there. Pat had a damn good race down there. He ended up having a damn good race. Overall, he had a damn good race. But the Pajogo, I was on the Pajogo, Michael. But the Pajogo. Well, there you go. All right, y'all go ahead. Y'all keep the show going, man. I got to go post on Facebook, man. Come on, help me out, y'all. Bobby, you doing a good job.
Hey,
keep on talking.
Hey, Kid.
Yeah.
Kid.
Kid must be doing some. Go ahead, Bobby.
Goddamn, I ain't see it till after you asked, dog, the bear and the cook, goddamn, that damn officer, correction officer, that damn convict, they escaped. They just got that car in the
alley.
She shot us there.
She shot us.
They
caught him? Yeah, they caught him in Indiana.
Yeah, they called me in there.
She shot herself for real? She shot herself? Did she die?
No, she ain't dead.
That was a lesson in the charges they're going to put on her ass. But tell Ricky he's safe now. He can come on back out.
Oh, my God, Kid. There you go. You part. Now you acting just like wheelchair.
My mama hadn't moved back in the house yet. She was my brother. I said, I told him they ain't scared. I said, you can let them stay in your house for $1,000 a week. She had just sold a house for $95,000.
$85,000 or $95,000. Yeah. Now she sold a house and sold her soul too.
Yeah.
Ain't got no pension coming. Well, she can get it on commissary though.
She been took under her will, not for her to make up a goddamn fake-ass goddamn doctor visit that never was there, so she planned.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, Ricky, goddamn it, you're safe now.
Fuck around Alabama, boy. She won't know what hell look like I fuck around Alabama.
Man. So how they caught him?
I guess somebody identified and got in a high speed chase on Rick.
Damn, okay. I wonder if they stayed out that damn long.
Yeah.
Then she shoot herself. Yeah, you right, the one they did.
She gotta be a dumbass.
That was
you done did all that shit, now you gonna shoot your dumbass there? How dumb can you get?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'd rather be dead than to go back where she's finna go to.
Yeah. And the thing about it, Bobby, they said she had just sold some house and had about $90,000 or something, and she out there getting it away out there with a big baby that damn good.
They said how? Yeah. And it said how was $250. She could have got $250 for him. She took the $90 and ran, so that lets you know she was trying to get the fuck out of Dodge. I guess
mm-hmm.
they thought they were going to the moon because if they stay in the United States, they ask, you going down to the United States now.
Mm-hmm. Just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Ain't no good when you ask on that run.
Got to have paper, goddamn it, to be on the run.
Got a bunch of paper. That 95 ran out fast. Got another car. He's paid it. Going forward, though, man, getting on to these next couple races, man, I think it is. You got 3-4 of them. You got to pick these races and go support these races and make the best out of what you can do. It seemed like everybody was riled up to get there. Well, hell, didn't know kick off with one or two races that had even happened there. But all the motherfuckers on the planet.
Hold on. I got to get Josh Lowe on there. No, Josh, we can't hear you. Your mic ain't open because I ain't looking at the board. Hold on, let me get to the board.
You'll never hear.
Hold on, let me see what Josh hit. Josh, did you hit the one button? Josh, what line are you on? We can't hear you. Okay, 205-7339. Okay, 205-733. Josh, that you, Josh?
Yeah, that me.
All right, there you go. All right, hey, this is Josh Lowe, y'all. We got the kill or be kill race this weekend. You got the flow, Josh. Go ahead. Bobby Cole, I'm going to hit you out. It's your first time doing this kind of stuff.
We got the show this weekend in Montgomery, Capital City. We got Dog on the microphone, Monica running stage, man. We got everything confirmed. Me, Keisha, Leslie, and Vandetta. We're going to do a four-car shootout. We got them guys out of Cool Performance, what they call Gunsmoke, car called Animal Hunter, a couple more cars. They doing a four-car shootout the same day on Friday, then the Lil G's they gonna be on Saturday, and the Lil G's on Friday. They got them an 8-car shootout, but I'm thinking all these like 10 grudge races locked in and all now. So, man, hoping pretty good show, man. Weather look good. No, hope to see y'all boy there.
I hear them boys from up north supposed to come down. Don't Malcolm Poole be running somebody from up north?
Yeah, FOC quarantine. Them guys, they supposed to come down. And I'm not sure if they bring that car, Jesse James. I think they still fight with that car. They confirmed the day that Wesley Snipes. So, you know. They're going to be there Friday, though. Malcolm got them off the trailer on Friday. But they got a grudge race, but they also running that shootout, I think.
Josh, you get your car situated. I heard you had a little problem with your car. You got it straightened out yet? Are you going to be having it straightened out?
I thought we running a little different this year. I got my old motor from last year. We just throwing it back in there. We're going to ride like that.
Well, you're doing pretty good with that old motor, so okay. All right.
Yeah.
So you're going to come on and beat all y'all in.
Man, I'm gonna beat the shit out of Keisha, send Trigger Man home. I got him a Nye hotel set up over there. I'm gonna send his ass over there on that room with some coffee and some donuts and let him watch some playback and see where he fucked up at.
don't be trying to be like Bobby just because I said don't be trying to be like Bobby now.
Nah. Hey, but for real, man, I thought about renting a track for about 2 days after we leave so he can see where he fucked up at, you know, and get there and run and test the car.
Josh, you talking a lot of shit now. That's the same Keisha that snapped the shit out to you before. You talking a lot of shit, ain't you?
Yeah, that's why I want that.
If he snapped the shit out you again, what you gonna do then? If he slapped the shit out you again.
That motherfucker slapped me that time, boy. Hey, I'm going to see my black ass. Don't. Hey.
Get him a chair, kid. Get him a chair, kid.
Hey. Shit. My mom told me hit the ass back. Now, he hit me last time, so I'm going to try to hit his ass back this time. But he whooped my ass. Just go home and tell mom, he a little too big for me right now. But nah, I think we're gonna beat the shit out of him though. You know, I think it's gonna be pretty good though.
You actually think you're gonna whoop Keisha?
Yeah, I think we got him.
Now you know I don't believe in them first round call outs, But now, if you and Keisha wanted to run somebody in the first round call out, when I know that ain't no bullshit race now, we might can arrange that, though. But, you know, we didn't want to start no president by doing, you know. We might can arrange that, though.
I got an entertainment with a guy today, man. They were talking about first round call out, and I told him you don't allow it. And I was like, man, I told him, the dog running the show, my word don't overrule shit he say. So he said no first round call out, then how we going to rock? I told him, like, even me, I would love to meet Keisha in the finals and get everybody something to see in the finals, but, you know, it is what it is, you know.
Well, see, anybody cold went over there. See, the reason we don't do it was, see, some people, you know, we don't want to get all the secrets out, but, you know, we know when it's a real first round call out and when it's somebody just trying to go to the next round for the money. That's why we,
right.
You know, don't do no first round call out. And I ran into one of my main buddies that don't care about nothing, and he said, well, if you're going to do it for one, you got to do it for all, or don't do it at all. So sometimes that's what makes it hard, though. That's what makes it hard. We know some guys be bullshitting. We know some of them be bullshitting. But it's hard.
They about bullshit a lot.
Yeah. Ricky Stanbrough know what I'm talking about. He done been there with buddies and call out, joking up sick cars and just to go to the next round and all that, man. So sometimes it's... Some of the bad people mess it up for the good people, man.
I tell you what. Whatever I do, meet Keisha, I ain't locking no races for after that shootout. So she's gonna be on everything she got.
That's
gonna do it right now.
Now the Marty Show got an award out. They call it the Buffalo Award. They say if you pull off some of the shit you talking about you're gonna do, you're gonna get the Buffalo Award. If you don't, you're gonna get the Jackass of the Year.
No.
Hey.
Man, I'm just looking forward to pulling those and all. We pulled those and all. Shit, we right back in the battle the week after, goddamn. We got Jason X the week after.
I know, man. Well, low now, we got. You said it Friday. What time the track open Friday? What time they gonna go out Friday? You know, you got that information?
Friday they doing. He doing a little private testing. For like you, it ain't. I guess it ain't private testing, but. You can go up there, pray extra. They going to have the track already prepped and everything. I think it started like 10 or 11. I had to confirm it on that, but he was talking about 10 or 11 o'clock. You already have everything prepped, ready to go. So don't come up there, do whatever you need to do. I don't know who's going to be out there in the heat of the day like that, but, you know.
If everything go right, I might have something come out and put on somebody's ass, but I don't know now. I'll be up in the house now. You know, I'll be in the house, baby.
The way me and Trigger Man be at each other, I don't even know that race don't make me sad.
That's what I said, yeah. Yeah, if y'all get in there Friday, it might go off on Friday, huh?
Yeah, because I just talked to them probably, I clicked over, I was listening to y'all, and I clicked over and talked to Pat them on, and they said they coming in Friday so they can test. So, hey, they going down, if I see them going down the track looking pretty good, Hey, man, what are we waiting for?
Look here now. Now, Josh, you on there talking trash. I just got a text. I'm going to read it verbatim. It's a dog. How John Dillon is going to make up 3 to 4 car lengths with the same motor?
Good God. Tell about the nitrous stand on.
Hey, man, I'm just telling you. People listening, I'm telling you, boy, they paying attention, though. Bobby Cole. Hey, Bobby.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah.
Bobby, let me talk to Bobby. Hey, Bobby. Now you done got whooped by a Nats pussy. If a man put 3 or 4 colleagues on you, are you gonna go back in that mess with him?
No, I ain't going back fuck with him because I changed everything.
Yeah. Hey, Josh Lowe. Yeah, look, these motherfuckers texting me like crazy now. I just got a text from my man, Tomas. Tell y'all, I still got that $5,000 if you want to try to get it back.
you said that's all good. He need to be there front and center.
He going to be there. Hey, man. Hey, He going to be there. He said, if he could be around you and bet you every race, he said he'd quit his job.
Hey, tell him. I ain't gonna talk too much.
Uh-huh.
But tell him,
right?
When he first approached me, he in my hometown now.
Uh-huh.
So we.
Oh no! Hold on! Hold on, Josh, hold up! Are you standing up or sitting down, man? Are you standing up or sitting down?
I'm sitting down.
All right. I'm glad you said now. I just got a text that said, if he mess around, I'm going to snap the shot of him. They didn't say it like that, but I don't want to tell you. Leslie just texted me that shit, man.
Man, Leslie don't need to talk to nobody no more. Kevin done been calling her out for three, four days. Leslie said,
Teflon done to suck her. Well, she ain't got mail, but she said, because when she called him out, he didn't want to do that. So leave me alone now. That was Leslie told me.
She did say that.
Yeah. So y'all know I ain't lying, because I don't know nothing about this shit that y'all tell me.
I don't know why he picking on Leslie so bad for though. He want her bad in the slot.
Leslie said, suck her. Well, she ain't got none of them, but she said, because when I call them out, they didn't want to do that. Now they can leave me the hell alone.
Yeah.
She told me that.
No, I know.
Yeah, you on?
What's up, John? How the hell you talking about? That's your hometown. Last time we met from there, I lost the damn
bitch.
What the hell did you talking about?
You said what?
Come to the phone, Jamie. You sound a little older, Jamie.
That time we was on the property together, TMR locked that damn gate. So how the hell, we kick you out your own
damn,
house?
Damn, what the hell are you talking about?
Got a whole lot of keys
in
his pocket.
I hope
you don't think wrapping your car gonna make you any damn faster.
Do you know that was before John Dillinger when you did that?
Uh-oh.
I hope you don't think wrapping your damn car make you faster.
Man.
Oh, Lord.
Only thing that gonna make you do is see the reflect. You gonna see the blue off that motherfucker. That's the only
Jamie,
thing.
Jamie, that's what I was gonna tell you. Wear your glasses, Jamie, because if the sun out, they gonna blind you. Ain't
lying. Hey, I ain't lying. You better. But everybody gonna be able to see you real good, cause they gonna be able to see your ass in my quarter pounder, motherfucker.
I bet you 500 or 1,000, I will be nowhere near your quarter pounder. That's a lock on my end, boy.
Hold on, Josh. That man can't call you no boy in your own race, man.
He did call me.
Damn, dog. Who locked the gate last? When you, hey, dog, you asking me what time the gate's open. I got the key. You asking me what time the gate's open Friday.
No.
Oh, shit.
I went on there and told my mama happy Mother's Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this silly fool get on there and talk crazy to me while I talk to my mama, man.
Hey, I'm over here to bring your mama Friday. Let me let your mama see what the hell I'm going to do to you Friday, man. So leave your mama at home.
Mama said, the way he talking, if I wasn't on this dialing machine, I'd go whoop his ass myself. I gotta get you now. I want you to know that now.
Yeah. But you know the bad part about what I noticed about you, Hector. I mean, you know what I noticed? Y'all got kids, but y'all know who y'all kids help is. Y'all kids damn don't even claim y'all first. They claim your own daughter claim to your mom before you claim.
You know we over in the project now. I'm from the project now.
Oh man, not the project.
And I'm talking about they all of them watch the races on YouTube and shit, right? There's a little girl.
Yeah.
There's a little girl and a little boy on there. Pat told them that he was gonna send them some shirts, and he ain't sent shit. They come into the race, and they say, if y'all ain't got no shirts, I wish I was with that little girl right now. She said, I'm going to fuck him up.
Oh.
She said,
I know.
I promise you.
We're having down there, man.
Hey, that little girl ain't no more about 19. She said, if he ain't got my shirt, I'm going to fuck him up. I said,
hold on, Josh. If she was that old, Josh, you should have slapped her in her damn mouth talking like that.
I can't, man, because her mama ain't probably but 12 herself. Hell, this is a man.
Oh, man.
One, the little boy walk around with that damn little airsoft gun, man, be trying to shoot everybody. Talking about hit pipe. Shoot, man, Where would them look bad?
Well, Josh, you shaped up to have a pretty good old show. The weather looks perfect, but I got to send something to Jamie to get Jamie riled up because I didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jamie.
What's up, little dog?
They said you make it like the car broke because you didn't want to mess with Hector.
Ooh.
That's the word going around out there.
Yep.
That's the word going around out there.
Hey, dog, let me put this out there, dog. For the people that word going around. Oh, we had so much traveling to do last week, and we went to Memphis, dog. But we could have took the motor, the transmission out the Mustang and put in there. But then we wouldn't really be able to make Bobby race with the Mustang. So what do we do, dog? So
I know what the word is.
I know what the word is. But you know, you can't really worry about what the word is. You just got to continue doing what you're doing. So we went to Bobby race like we said we was doing at the last minute, and we went to post-op race. So that's out the way. So now, tell them same people that a brand new transmission will be here tomorrow. So what they talking about, you think we're going to spend that kind of money for a brand new transmission, and the transmission was messed up,
man.
And we ordered a brand new transmission because the transmission that we got can't be freshening up until 2.5 weeks. So we had to buy a brand new transmission to make Josh race. So tell the people who talking about
up.
Somebody scared a damn Hector. Man, as soon as we get through with Josh race, tell them to bet what they want to bet with Hector. That's all they got to do. Tell them they want to bet.
That's a lockup.
Yeah, we ducking Hector for.
That's a lockup.
So to put that out there, some of the people would have been down for two and a half to 3 weeks. You understand what I'm saying, dog? Because Mark Mickey and the rest of the people, hell, they backed up. So we did the quickest thing. The quickest thing, y'all want to know what we did, was spent over $10,000. Y'all over here talking shit about somebody ducking and dodging somebody. And we had to spend over $10,000 to make a damn race. And y'all missed me with that. So what they saying about ducking somebody.
I got a bag, Jamie. I don't like Jamie, but I got to bag him up right there because I got a phone call. Man said, I gave you my word. We're going to be there. And we're going to went and bought a new transmission, and we'll be there. Now, I did get that phone call before he even said it. I did get that, too. I said, I appreciate it, man.
Yep. Okay, well, Josh, hold on, Josh. You know Josh Lowe, man. You know he's a young guy. You know, you ain't that much older than him, Jamie, but you really his daddy. How you going to feel about
my
brain home state? Hold on, Jamie. How you gonna feel going through that man home state slapping the shit out of him in front of his people like that, Jamie? How you gonna feel, Jamie? You ain't got no country.
We gonna feel the same way we felt when we locked the gate last time and took that 10,000. We gonna feel the same damn way when we went down there and that damn fool got put out the first round. I don't know if he made it the first round. That's a damn fool, man. Dog, that's a fool right there, man. But he said what he need to be doing is taking notes. That's what he need to be doing. It looked like he's taking notes from the wrong people. In the girls' game, that's what he look like he's doing. He's good for the game. He just need a couple little changes, dog. He need a couple little changes. But at the end of the day, like I say, if I go over there tomorrow and take a picture to send these people up under the hood of Keisha, then they'll know what we got going on, dog. Hey, let me tell you something. Hector did the wrong thing. Hector did the wrong thing by posting my picture talking about he going to run through TMR. Ain't nobody in grudge racing as of today going to run through TMR. And that goes out to any and everybody that called himself a grudge racer, period.
Lord,
Jamie,
y'all think this shit here? Just, hey, dog, really, truly, it ain't really started yet, dog. The party ain't really started yet, and they can't handle the party now. They're gonna be drunk before the end of the party.
Well, Jamie, you got a lot of shit on your plate, and I had Bobby on here. Bobby used the Tony Bryan rule. He said he wanted Uncle Sam back because Uncle Sam got his money. Now, backstabber, where's backstabbing to me, Jamie? If you had, everybody talking about baby dad, and you said you ain't scared of none of Jamie, if backstabber had to run one of them top boys or one of them boys over there, who do Jamie want to run? Who would Jamie want to run?
No, dog, really, the mix of the cars right now, I want King Kong, dog. I don't like what they did. Like how they did it or the way that they done it.
Okay.
As soon as they get that shit up, they got a lock, dog. But I got to check some things out that I ain't going to say on the radio, but I got to check some things out. And I want to make sure there don't be no whining, no crying, good surface, good prep, and all of that. I don't want no whining and no crying when we go to their ass. But they ain't nobody on this premises going to disrespect TMR the way that they done. But go ahead, dog.
Well, Jamie, can I ask you one question? Can I ask you one thing I need you to do for me?
Yes, sir.
Could you wait till Josh Lowe pay me before you fuck him up?
Paul, man.
Somebody just texted me and said, why everybody think King Kong is the weakest link? Where that come from?
Listen. Nobody said King Kong was the weakest link. I know that, but what I'm saying is that's not what the question was asked. But on paper, I ain't gonna put it out there. But I mean, when you do your homework, I mean, if you in the vicinity, you know what I'm saying? If you got a car that's King Kong, salted bitch, backstabber, baby daddy, you better do your homework. But on paper, King Kong the weakest link to me on paper.
Damn.
I'm holding it in till after Memphis. Till after Memphis.
Oh, okay.
That's the weakest link on paper. But paper don't turn W's on though, dog. And you can't explain that to people because they cutting the W's on. But on paper, King Kong the weakest to me. But that ain't the reason I answered that question, dog, because I feel like they the weakest. No. That ain't the reason. How they came and did in Memphis, that's the reason.
They came at us.
They came at us, and we told them let us make a shakedown. We made a shakedown, and then you know we went and tried to lock them in. Then they dogged us and got their ass turned upside down. Yeah. On paper, you can't tell me King Kong.
I keep getting these damn texts about. Why everybody calling out King Kong? Well, maybe they call out King Kong because they think everybody was saying he was the toughest. They want to. I don't know. Don't ask me. Now. I don't know.
Dog, I could answer that. Dog, tell them King Kong came to us and wanted to run us. So we want to run them. Mm-hmm. What's wrong? We want to run.
Right.
I'm speaking for backstabber. I'm not speaking for everybody else. I'm speaking for backstabber.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I want to make sure both lanes is right, good surface, good prep. I don't want no fucking excuse. When I let the goddamn button go, when I let that button go, dog, ain't nothing to talk about, dog.
Yes, sir. You're 99.9%. You the baby daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That button. Josh Lowe, you see that there, Josh? Josh, you see Josh on the phone?
Yeah, he thought Keisha is a stock. Ain't nothing like teaching them dot dot.
We'll be back in old Montgomery.
Dog, ask that person. Hey, dog, ask that person, dog, even though it ain't locked in or nothing yet, but ask that person how much they want to lock in when we do run Hector. How much they want to lock in?
They on the phone. I ain't going to call the name, but they on the phone. They hear you.
Yeah, push your one button.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, push your one button. Don't be scared to talk. Push your one button.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't usually talk, but they will bet, though. They, whenever y'all give it up, he'll text me what he want to bet. He'll bet, though.
Mm-hmm.
He'll bet.
I'll leave him alone.
Yeah.
I know some people don't like to talk.
He said he's wondering why you just call him out. No, Jimmy. He said he's been with you. He just texted me. He said he's been with you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we can't call. We ain't got no motor, no transmission in the car. That's why. And we got no motor, no transmission in the car.
Damn.
We working like an ass to get this Alabama fried tonight.
Yes, sir.
And if y'all want to know. Matter of fact, anybody want to buy a transmission, yeah, hit me up, let me know. I'm going to send it back, have it freshen it up, and it'll be for sale. Y'all want to buy a transmission. We're going to send it back tomorrow.
Yeah,
have it freshen up, be about 2.5 weeks. We just can't wait that long. Y'all want to go fast, y'all hit me up on the back line.
Is it a lockup?
Yes, sir. It's a lockup.
It'd be anything you want. It'd be a non-lockup, lockup. It'd be anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, kid. Bring that money to be yours. Well, you got something to put it in, kid?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll let you put it in something. I'll let you borrow it, kid. You got something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to let Brother D use it. Brother D, hit me on the back line of the show.
Man, come on, man. Brother D,
you
man, you give Brother D. Jamie, you tell Brother D you got a lockup for him. He goes, I'm up there. Well, Jamie, how you going to give me the lockup? You ain't give me the key to go to it. Where the key at, Jamie? Where the key?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, dog, I'm going to tell you something, man. These calls are rough, man. Like I said, Keisha last year, Keisha ain't really give us no problem. I'd be damned if every other race now Keisha giving us all kind of problem. I think I shouldn't have never said all the tension was going to be on Backstabber this year. Ever since I said that, Keisha been getting us all kind of fits, man. She acting like a real woman now. You know, a woman, you know what I'm saying? It's unpredictable.
Yeah.
She acting like a real woman.
All the attention.
Well, look here, Tim, I was kind of throwing the most of, said, why we not celebrating Timo's 10 years of not racing? That's up north stuff. I ain't finna get in there. But, Tim, how's your mic open, Tim? Oh, yeah.
They're
waiting on you to do a point. Which one are you talking about,
Jamie? A lot of people want to see that hit then Keisha. Good.
Me too. Me too. I want to see that one too. What happened? Ain't nobody see it. They told me nothing. I'd have been on the show. I'd have made phone calls. What happened to Heck in Texas? Don't nobody know what happened to Heck in Texas? Nobody know what happened? Anybody? How do a car that fast go to Florida and whoop somebody?
Dog, what do you say happened to Heck in Texas? Heck didn't go to Texas.
Oh, they didn't go?
They said
they went to Florida and Wu Kong and they was heading to Texas. I wonder what the hell they went to Florida for about to go to Texas.
Silver Surfer got the car that the guys that was hosting the event. Silver Surfer drive that car. Silver Surfer took Hector, took the Malibu to Florida. Grudge race Hector.
Mm-hmm.
And Hector decided not to go to Texas, so Silver Surfer had to go to Texas. He had the Malibu, so they took the Malibu to Texas. That's the guys that had the they were the ones that was hosting the race.
All right, thank you, Trigger. Thank you for that information. I'm up here waiting, looking for Dama. Everybody looking for what he did in Texas. He didn't even go to Texas.
No, he didn't go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, like I said, guys, it's not too much controversy to start tonight. Bobby Cole and them came on in and had me about to cry, so, you know, I can't talk no bad stuff. So, if y'all ain't got nothing, you know what I'm going to do. Y'all ain't got nothing.
Well, before you go, dog, I still like to say what I had to say. I definitely wanted to say
it. Come on with it.
Because I don't – okay, you got Jamie, you got Pie Joe and all of them, and everybody celebrating everybody's birthday and when they win it. And we got celebrities up here too. We got Chemo. He should be celebrating his 10th year anniversary. He ain't raised nobody. Run his mouth. Car ain't been showed up. He talking about he got all his money. Ain't doing nothing. But you guys should be celebrating. It's the grudge racing world. We are part of the family, and we need to be congratulating Chemo. All he do is talk and run his darn mouth. That's all. So I just wanted to make sure everybody know we should give him credit, because what credit is due. He is a celebrity. 10 years and ain't raised nobody? Come on, man. Man, a talk show celebrity host, ain't did nothing. Lil Will had one race, and the head ring leader, Junior, he get on Street Outlaw, cut the man off and run all the way down the track, and the man can't get around it, and he win. He starts celebrating. He had a victory. Man, come on, man. We got some celebrities up here, man.
Damn.
Just wanted to put that out there, make sure everybody understand that we celebrating up here, too. That's all, dog.
All right. Well, guys, like I said, I know y'all tune in for some controversy tonight, but we just ain't, you know, the Bobby and them came on in and turned the show around and had me on here about to cry, talking about I'm good and everything, how they appreciate me. I ain't know that. Made me feel good, though.
You still didn't tell us about that napkin, your shirt sleeve.
They went out? They went out? Oh. Hey, I just brushed and combed my eye with my shirt sleeve down, boy.
Okay.
Yeah, but like I said, you know. Hey, is any games on tonight? So I'm gonna go watch goddamn Street Outlaw.
Yeah, there's a game on tonight, dog. Memphis Grizzlies and the Warriors, but that ain't gonna be nothing to watch.
Who you like on that race, Jamie, for a soft 20?
On the game?
The Bucks and the Celtics playing right now, dog.
I like the Warriors, dog. I like the Warriors.
You like the Warriors or not? No, I ain't going to bet
against
them. Yeah. All right, then. Hey. No, I ain't going to bet. No bet. I got wheelchair ass for Florida the other night.
Hey, dog. I'm going to give you 30 to 20, dog.
Nah. I don't want it.
All right, dog. Maybe you all right, dog. I'm going to give you 30 to 20, dog.
40-20, who you got?
As a bet, dog. I got Steph Curry now. Steph Curry.
That's a bet. We locked.
All right, that's a lock. That's a lock. Nobody can bet. That's a lock.
We locked. We locked.
Anybody else want that bet? Anybody else want that bet?
40-20. Your 40 to my 20. Your 40 to my 20.
Yes, sir.
You got the Warriors.
Anybody else?
Man, Memphis is gonna beat their ass, man.
All right, dog. You give me 40-20, it'd be a 20-point lead. They beat them by 20 points.
You serious, Evan? They already playing?
No, they don't play till 10 o'clock. I'm gambling, dog. Hey, you asked about
when? I mean, you said they play tonight, right?
10 o'clock, dog.
The Memphis play. Okay.
I got 40-20. I got the Warriors.
Right, that's a bet.
Now
we lost. I just want
to mention. Now I'm betting you my 20 to your 40, and I'm betting that the Warriors beat them by 20 points.
That's a bet. We locked on that, too. We locked on that. Hold up, Danny. Hold up. Now, I don't want that. I forgot. Morant might not be playing tonight. I forgot about that. God, dog. You trying to trick me. That's why you got
it.
Damn, I forgot about that.
Hey,
damn, I just thought.
I wouldn't give a damn about the pen.
Goddamn it,
give me that 20. I take that 20.
I'm a, hey, I'm a, no, no, no. I feel bad on the game, but by the 24. Oh damn, I forgot Morant was hurt. They grabbed the man's leg and hurt his leg. But that might make the rest of them play better.
You almost had it.
They more without him than they did with it. Damn sure did. They more without him than they did with it. Damn sure did.
But, dog, right. Let me ask you something, though. That's how racist, dog. That's exactly how racist gets stopped right there, dog. Somebody just stopped the race right there, man. Who the hell takes you that and snitched on me, dog?
Man, I got five snitches at the same time. Morant ain't playing. Morant, I forgot about it. But yeah. I got five texts at the same time. Morant ain't playing.
I'll take 20 if he don't play no more this year. I'll take 20 with them all, bro.
What you say, Danny?
I'll take them 20 points. I'm going to give a damn. He don't never play.
No, he wasn't getting about no 20 points. He was betting 40 to 20. Mm-hmm. I had to bet 40 to 20.
They beat him by 20.
Yeah.
You were going to have 20 points, but you had to bet. Okay, hold up. I'll take that bet, Jamie. That's a bet.
Oh, dog, I learned from you. You should have took it when I offered you. I know bet.
You ain't lying. Yeah. I don't care who ain't played. 20 points is a lot of points, regardless.
You got that right.
Hey dog, check this out, dog. They had him down by 15 the other night and came back and beat him by 30 points. That's almost 50 points, man.
You ain't bullshit.
That boy beat the mess out there, man.
No. Yeah. Yeah, they gonna play hard tonight. They might play rough tonight.
They cop blocking, man. Yeah, but tell them five people they cop blocking though, man.
They gotta look out for me, man. I'm old, man. I ain't gonna tell you one of them was your daddy. I ain't gonna tell you one of them was your daddy. I can't do anything.
Hey, dog. I got five texts at the same time.
Hey, now that just goes to show you. We think people don't be paying attention on these damn shows. They be paying attention now.
Oh, yeah. They paying attention now. I tried to hurry up and get that one in. I knew somebody was going to take you.
Jamie. Brother D over here talking about, man, come on, man. You can give Brother D a lock up. What are you going to use it in, man? Come on, man. Brother D over here texting me now talking about how much you want for him. Come on, man. You give Brother D a lock up, that's generally going to be locked up in them damn woods where it's called. Come on, buddy. Come on, D. Come on, D.
Good. I had to
come
look.
On,
I thought it was kid.
Yeah. Brother D, he's been drinking again, man. Y'all forgive him. He know not what he do. Y'all forgive him. Yeah. But all right. We're going to get out of here, man.
Yeah, we got here, dog.
All right, we all at y'all tomorrow, man. Thank y'all for coming on. I'm sorry I ain't had no bad stuff for y'all tonight, but it made me feel in a good mood tonight, so I didn't want to act no fool. So y'all have a good one. God bless you.